about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
Whoa! Smells like some vomit took a dump in here. What happened?
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Now, myself, I'm a sort of tubby, out of shape, unathletic person. How hard would it be to work with someone like me to get him busting moves like you?
Well, must be psychosomatic. Now, don't worry, that's just a fancy doctor word for your brain is broken. Unfortunately, there's no field of medicine that deals with the brain.
Please do nothing besides throw up on the radio. Oh my God, it's so funny! And also, of course, fire music.
And now.
Then you became a morning shock jock and created the sport Taint Ball.
Yeah.
Our feature presentation.
I don't want to play Taint Ball.
I don't know what it is, but I am interested to see what it is.
I don't want to have anything to do with Taint Ball.
And then I'll decide whether I want to play it. I dips Pope me.
You can't be Pope.
Why can't I be Pope? Anybody can be Pope.
No, not anybody can be Pope.
The Pope died?
First, you have to be Catholic. That's number one. No, he's retiring.
Oh, what?
It's unheard of.
I've never heard of a Pope retiring.
Not in 600 years has a Pope retired?
1415, so just about 600 years since the last time a Pope stepped down. Kevin, you got to start getting the news.
About the Pope? Who cares?
About anything. Just about anything.
They die in the saddle, man.
The Pope
is retiring.
Such a weenie.
He wants to live a few wild years before he dies.
Yeah, that's probably.
If God comes to you and says, "My son, I want you to be Pope," really, it takes a lot of guts to walk away from that and say, "Sorry, God, tired,
had enough."
Right?
I got to be honest, I've had enough of this. I'm gonna just go ahead and let it go.
Well, the last Pope limped to the finish line. He was sick for years.
He was.
He did it.
Quitter.
Yeah.
Our friend Joe Rogan, I love so much. I don't know if you guys follow him on Twitter, but you should. He's very funny and very interesting. And you know, every time we have Joe on, he's always telling us about some bug that's going to kill you. And he is always tweeting stories just like them. But he is on fire about the Pope. First of all, he would like to formally offer an invitation to the Pope to come on his podcast, let his fans know what's really going on.
That's nice. That's nice.
Who wouldn't listen to that, by the way? Then Joe trying to get questions for the Pope trending, and he's asking up some of the questions that he would like to ask the Pope when he comes on. For instance, what's up with all the kid diddling? For instance, that's one of the questions. And I was thinking, what's it like to run a gigantic, ridiculous cult right out in the open and have the support of mainstream government media? I was also thinking, the Pope does not get asked the tough questions, right?
No, he completely controls what he gets asked.
That's rare. I mean, the president of the United States gets asked the tough questions. You know
right.
what I mean? But for the Pope does never have to, which is kind of interesting. What was it like going from the Nazi youth to the Pope? Is there really that much difference? What does human flesh taste like is one of the questions. What's the craziest wizard costume you have in your wardrobe? Do you go traditional under the robes? See, there's really, I mean, before the Pope dies, wouldn't it be great once he's out of office, it seems like now he can speak freely. Wouldn't it be great to get the answers to some of these questions?
Yeah.
I don't know that he would be allowed.
But... Are there any priests that aren't gay? And if so, what do they do for fun?
Wow.
Why didn't Jesus wear gold like you do? Was it really necessary to spend $750,000 on a nativity scene for the Vatican? No sick kids to help? Ooh, that's a tough one. Why do you ride around in a bulletproof car? Don't you have faith? Here's a great one for this particular Pope, Pope Benedict. Is it possible for you to crack a smile without looking incredibly evil?
Every one of these questions would require some type of sense of humor.
Yes. And every one of these questions would have the Vatican Death Squad killing Joe Rogan, too.
Yeah.
Are you still going to run the Pope Twitter account after you quit? And if so, can we expect penis pictures? Are you retiring to reprise your role as Emperor Palpatine in the upcoming Star Wars movie? Anyway, it just goes on and on and on like that. Do you ever think in the future there will be a woman evil enough to be Pope? Will there be a Pope in the future where we can read minds and robots rule the skies? My favorite, how young is too old? So there you go. There's some of the questions for the Pope. He's retiring at the end of the month, right? At least February 28th, I want to say I heard.
I believe that's right.
And then he's not giving him much time.
What does an ex-pope do? Like, what's his life going to be like now? Is he just going to – I mean, are we going to now see him out for dinner, you know, at a restaurant with people or
– That's what's going to happen. Nightclub time.
Does he still live in the Vatican?
I don't know.
That's another great question because it would just – I mean, look, I have no problem with people who want to be Catholic. If you enjoy it, that's great. But, I mean, my understanding of the pope thing is that the pope is you know, like God's instrument, like is holy and perfect.
Right.
How could you see the pope in line at the supermarket after he's not pope anymore? Maybe this is why the popes don't retire. Maybe this is why
– That could be.
You know, they die pope. It's just – it's too weird to think about what an ex-pope would be like.
Is he having health problems or nothing? Just decided he was tired?
He's just pooped.
He said the Pope is pooped. He says nothing specific. He's getting old and doesn't feel great. But there's no – it's not like they've come out and said he had cancer or something like that. But, I mean, he – you know, he looks – for a guy in his 80s, he doesn't look bad. I mean, there are a lot of people getting up and doing things that are in worse shape than he is.
Yeah.
You know, look at Beer Mug. Look what he's done to his body in his years. You know? So anyway, that's going to be a big story, obviously, for the next couple of weeks as there's no obvious front runner, but many people think that there could be a black or Latino pope now.
Oh.
Come on, Cardinal Mahoney, huh?
Yeah, right.
Well, I don't think
he's got a beat on it, right?
He's not really in a good position right now. Good times.
All right, let's talk about today's Kevin Amin Show, shall we?
What's the game plan, Kevin?
The game plan is Robert Kirkman from The Walking Dead.
That's a good game plan.
Kevin, don't be such a f***ing chump.
Robert Kirkman.
Yeah.
Very excited about that.
He's the man.
He is the man. Beer Mug went back to the Grammys on Friday and did some more interviews.
Yay.
So we're going to hear those on
Friday. Big names, by the way. Big names. Beer Mug got on Friday. More people on Friday than he got on Thursday.
Oh, no. Do you ever wonder, like, those people now think that the Kevin and Bean Show is that guy?
Yeah.
Is Beer Mug?
Yeah.
Mugs, you tell them you're with Seacrest, right?
Yeah.
Okay, good.
Joe Levy from Billboard is going to be calling up with a Grammy recap, as well as we have our own Grammy recap, bringing in some highlights of that show. We have Harvey Levin from TMZ talking about all the celebs.
All right.
And we have Grace Park in the studio from Hawaii 5-0.
Yeah, she's something. Okay. Yeah.
She's something. And there's a huge, huge event going on tonight. I don't know if you've heard about it. Monday night, tonight.
Uh-uh.
The Armenian comedian is hosting
That's tonight.
Yeah. Some kind of a night at a nightclub.
In Burbank.
I don't really know how to describe it. I don't know if his band's playing or if they got a DJ or he's up there telling jokes.
So you think we're going to talk to him and actually get clarity?
Yes. We're going to get some clarity on what's going on tonight with
his big nightclub
event.
You guys are
All right, take it easy. We'll take a break. We'll come back with the Showbiz Beat. That is now.
Destination number 5 of KROQ's World Tour 2013 just announced is The Killers in Buenos Aires, Argentina, you guys.
All right.
That's a long way. You can win those, at least get on the list to potentially win that trip with The Killers' latest album called Battleborn this morning at 9:10 here on The Kevin Amin Show. And then again throughout the week, like we do at 12:10, 3:10, and 6:10. All those details at KROQ.com. Good morning, Ralph Garman.
That's a long way, says the guy who goes to another state for a haircut.
That's true.
I think he's giving that up.
Oh,
but it's not
really?
It's not Buenos Aires, though, for God's sakes. That's many thousands of miles
Yeah, but you're
away.
Going for an amazing concert. You went to another state for a haircut. I think it's all relative.
I guess you're right.
Yes, thank you so much. Happy Monday, everybody. Since it is Monday, let's take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office. That's what we do every Monday, so you can see what people went to go see in the movie theaters. Maybe they're just like you. Maybe they went to see Identity Thief. Huge hit in its opening weekend, $36.6 million.
Wow.
That looks awful to me.
The reviews were brutal.
Doesn't mean it's still not awful.
Well, people loved it.
Nope, people went to it.
I saw it, I liked it.
See? There's a person and he loved it.
How much did you like it?
I thought it was about a 7, but that's because it was an hour too long. I mean, they just can't make a movie for under 2 hours now.
Yeah.
I don't understand that.
Yeah. Wow, a Kevin 7? That scares
Kevin
me.
Seven.
Right. Kevin 7.
That's
just
a Lisa 2.
Kevin 7, it's like a regular person's, you know, 4, 3. Maybe.
And I like to point out, it's 2 hours long, and Kevin said it's an hour too long. What does that tell you?
Because he wants it to be a TV show.
Right. This movie does look good.
Well, see, Bean liked it. Warm Bodies was number 2 at the box office with $11.5 million. Then Side Effects, Silver Linings Playbook, Hansel and Gretel were the top 5. Mama, Zero Dark Thirty, Argo, Django Unchained, and Bullet to the Head were the top 10 at the box office this weekend. That bullet to the head, that's Sylvester Stallone movie.
Yep.
That not crushing.
Not set the world on fire.
Not so much. The British version of the Oscars were given away over the weekend, since we're talking about movies. They're called the BAFTA Awards, and Ben Affleck won the night with three big awards at the show. His film, Argo, won Best Film. He won his Best Director, and Best Editing as well went to Argo. In the acting categories, Daniel Day-Lewis won for his role in Lincoln. Finally saw that over the weekend. Wow, what a film.
Yeah.
I was
really
blown away by that movie. Kevin, don't go. You wouldn't like it.
Okay.
But for, you know, people, it was amazing.
For people?
I thought it was just brilliantly done, and what a cast. Every time a new character shows up, like, holy crap, that guy's in it.
Yep.
Yeah, it's good stuff. 85-year-old Emmanuel Riva picked up the Best Actress Award for her performance in Amour. Christoph Waltz was named Best Supporting Actor, and Anne Hathaway, again, got the award for Best Supporting Actress for her role in Les Miserables. For Outstanding British Film, which is a category they can only have in England, Skyfall, the James Bond film, Skyfall, won for Best Outstanding British Film. So got a little something-something. Not much, but something-something. And awards, of course. Can't talk about the awards without talking about last night's Grammys. In case you missed it, here are a couple of the major award winners. Record of the Year. Somebody That I Used to Know, freaking Go Tie You.
How about that?
With Kimbra. Album of the Year, Babel, Mumford & Sons. The Song of the Year, We Are Young, Fun Period, featuring Janelle Monáe. Best New Artist, Fun Period. As Neil Patrick Harris said last night, they might have to change that period to an exclamation point. They're doing so well. Best Pop Solo Performance was Set Fire to the Rain, the live version by Adele. Best Pop Duo Group Performance, Somebody That I Used to Know. Those kids got it. Best Pop Vocal Album, Stronger by Kelly Clarkson. Best Rock Album, El Camino, The Black Keys. A little love
that
for one of our artists. How about that? Best Rock Performance, Lonely Boy by The Black Keys. Loved seeing Black Keys play with Dr. John last night. That was very impressive.
What a freak that guy is.
What? How dare you? He's my shaman. I won't have you
right?
speak badly of him. Best.
Hey, he should be the new Pope with that hat.
Yeah, he's looking good. Best Rap Album, Take Care by Drake. And if you want a complete list of the rest of the winners, you can. It's available online, but those are the biggies. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Tina Louise, part of the long-standing debate, Ginger or Marianne. She was Ginger on Gilligan's Island. She is 79 years old today.
Wow.
Now it's definitely Marianne. I'm definitely taking Marianne.
No question.
And Tina Louise has been fairly reclusive in the last 30 years or so, hasn't she, Ralph?
Not only that, but you haven't seen much of her.
That's true, that
yeah.
too.
Yeah.
And she's not out all the time.
She stays inside a lot, is what I hear.
You know, on a given day, she's not around,
yeah.
I've found. Burt Reynolds is 77 years old today. Remember when he was the biggest movie star in the world?
That
is not the case any longer.
No, it is not.
Yeah.
Mustache still pretty good.
He's got a great mustache.
Yeah.
And a great toupee.
Sheryl Crow's 51. Sarah Palin, don't you know? She's 49 years old today. Jennifer Aniston turns 44. Damian Lewis, star of Homeland and Band of Brothers and Life. What a great actor, 42 years old. Pro surfer and friend of the show, Kelly Slater, is 41 years old. Craig Jones of Slipknot turns 40. Mike Shinoda of Linkin Park, he is 36 years old. Singer and actress Brandy, she was Moesha on television, 34 years old. Kelly Rowland of Destiny's Child is 32. Aubrey O'Day from Danity Kane is 29. And Taylor Lautner from the Twilight Saga movies, of course, but you remember him from his action thriller Abduction.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
I'm really mad at you guys. You're going to pay if anything happens to her.
He's 21 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Welcome to a Monday Kevin and Bean Show. A lot of stuff coming up, including the actress Grace Park from Hawaii Five-0. Also, Robert Kirkman talks Walking Dead and a complete recap of the Grammys. How about Harvey Levin from TMZ.com, who joins us at this time every week? Good morning, Harvey. How are you, sir?
I'm good, guys. How are you?
Very good. Thank you.
By the way, I wanted to ask, and before I forget, are you watching that House of Cards on Netflix, that new Kevin Spacey series?
Everybody is talking about that. I haven't seen it yet, but I hear it's great.
It is phenomenal, and it's only available through Netflix. It's a great show, but the reason I wanted to bring it up to you is in the first or second episode, there's a big conversation about TMZ. Have you been tipped off to that already?
Yeah, somebody told me they mentioned it. I don't know what they said, but...
Yeah, there's a person in the newsroom who's complaining about the online presence of the newspaper that she works for. You know, she's talking about the kinds of stories she wants to do. And the editor's like, look, this isn't TMZ. And she says, look how popular TMZ is. And they get into a big old versus new media discussion that I thought you would be very proud of, Harvey.
Interesting. I hear it's really, really good.
Check it out. Let's talk. Well, let's start with Chris Brown, because you had a full time team just following Chris Brown around all weekend. There's so much stuff going on with this young man.
Well, first, can we talk about last night?
Sure.
I mean, what, you know, it was so typical, but he, you know, that he just kind of faintly clapped and sat as Frank Ocean won.
He was the only guy in the room who wouldn't stand up for Frank Ocean.
You know, it's just painful almost, but yeah. So predictable.
Every single opportunity he has to change the tide of public opinion or to have people look at him as a decent human, he goes the other way. He does the exact opposite thing, whether it's not apologizing or dick move like that last night.
And I will tell you something that I generally don't talk about, but people who are connected to Chris, who work with Chris, have been contacting us, you know, as we've been doing various stories. And they've been telling us how misunderstood he is, how he's the victim of all of this, how it's totally unfair, you know, if we dare say anything critical. And, I mean, you should see some of the emails and hear some of the phone calls. You would think he is the biggest victim on earth.
But how do even Chris Brown supporters justify faking and lying about the community service that he was assigned?
Well, we'll see what happens. Mark Garagos was livid, you know, after the hearing last week, and yet he didn't say anything about the fact that he did do this community service. I mean, we haven't heard exactly what Chris did or didn't do, but if he didn't do it, I think he's in trouble, and he supposedly spoke with his probation officer, so we will find out exactly you know, what's up the next time he goes to court. But I think if he didn't do it, he's in some trouble.
It sure seems like Bean said, there's so many opportunities to turn public opinion around. And
every step of the way.
He uses every single one of them to make people hate him more.
Well, when you think about it, I mean, look at it. You know, since Rihanna, you would think he'd be really contrite. And the DA even mentions this. So what do we have? You got the huge fight in New York City at Whip Nightclub with Drake. You've got him throwing a chair through the window at Good Morning America. You've got the Frank Ocean fight. You've got Chris Brown stealing a cell phone from a fan in Miami, ended up on the tour bus. You got him smoking pot, which he's not supposed to do, you know, in violation of probation. You got him traveling when he's not allowed to travel because he doesn't have the right documents. And those are just the things that I can remember off the top of my head.
Yeah.
I know we say this all the time, and I know that celebrities have a lot of money and they get great legal representation, but don't you feel like about two or three into that list, Harvey, you and I would be in jail?
Oh, are you kidding? One. I mean, what? Hauled before the judge.
Right.
And you know, number 4247569. I mean,
right.
Come on.
What kinds of reaction are you still getting now, more than a year, or is it 2 years after the incident with Rihanna, when you posted the photo of them at the Grammys together last night? Are people still just livid to see those two together?
No. I mean, it's really weird.
What?
There is a huge contingent of people who say, leave them alone. And part of it is, you know, people who support Rihanna. Part of it is people who support Chris Brown. But no, I mean, there are a lot of people who say, leave them alone. They have a right to do whatever they want to do, which is true. You know, my big question is, if he does it to her again, what are people going to do? Are they going to feel sympathy, or are they going to say, we told you so?
She's an idiot for going back.
Yeah, that's a tough one, because it's clearly she's still the victim and it's not her fault.
Absolutely.
But, ... What happened with Chris Brown's car, Harvey?
So he was driving along in his Porsche and crashes into a wall. Now, he says it's because he was being followed by paparazzi. The paparazzi, the agency that supposedly followed him, they have come out and they've said, look, we did not follow him. We did not do this. And now they're saying, you know, it's defamatory for him to say that. He's now saying, I'm going to sue the paparazzi. Now, if they did chase him and cause the crash, they could absolutely be responsible for it. It will be interesting to see whether he actually pursues that or not.
It's funny, though, because you give people that you sort of at least like a little bit the benefit of the doubt. But with him, you go, no one was following him.
Yeah, although I mean,
you know what I mean? You're just guessing.
I think he probably was being followed. The paparazzi are all over this guy. I mean, look, we've said countless times over the years talking to you, Harvey, that eventually a celebrity is going to get killed in a chase with the paparazzi. We could all agree that we hope it's Chris Brown, right?
Or a bystander.
Or a bystander, right. But preferably Chris Brown will be that one, right?
Would you stop it?
I'm just saying.
Absolutely.
No, it's got to be somebody.
I mean, it's a really serious issue.
It is, but so is beating up women, Harvey. So is beating up women. So I'm fine with him going down.
I'm not going to say that, guys.
No, we are, though. We're saying it.
Well, you, it's a free country.
Okay.
All right.
Give me 1 second.
We wrote this down.
We put a bunch of polls up, and let me see if this works. Yeah. We said if he beats her again, and the options were I'll have sympathy or tough. We had 122,000 people vote. You ready?
Yeah. Yeah.
89% said tough.
Wow.
It's really difficult for victims like of that particular thing to get away from it. It really is difficult. But.
And by the way, 82% believe he'll do it again.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, that's a way to go out on a bummer note. Appreciate that, Harvey. That's great.
No, I'd like to go out.
But the outfits were great last night.
I'd like to go out on an up note because I put up a poll of my own last night, and that's when Katy Perry won the best pop performance by a duo, which was your headline.
Speaking of putting up a poll.
You brought it back up again.
TMZ.com. That's where you go for all the great stories and great continuous coverage of what's going on in the march to Chris Brown's eventual death. Thanks for the time, Harvey. We enjoyed it. Trying to get you to go see The Killers. You want to get on the standby boarding list to see the band in Buenos Aires, Argentina. Keep on listening to The Kevin and Bean Show. We got a copy of their latest album, Battleborn, for you at 9:10. But apparently we got a couple of other chances between now and then for you to just call up and win. So keep on listening to K-Rock and we'll fill you in.
Pope Benedict.
Take two.
I don't think that's his name at all. Pope Benedict the 16th. Announced Monday he will step aside as leader of the world's $1.2 billion Roman Catholics. All right, let me take two. I'm going to start the whole
take
thing
five.
Over.
Take
what,
five.
What'd you do last night, Kevin?
Pope, I stayed up most of the night. Pope Benedict the 16th announced Monday he will step aside as leader of the world's 1.2 billion Roman Catholics.
I think we should just end it right there.
Thank you.
I think so, Jim. Thank you,
everyone. And this is, if you're scratching your little head this morning and you're going, popes don't resign. They die in office and then they bring in the new guy. I'm very confused. I don't remember a pope ever resigning. That's because it's been 600 years since the last time this happened. This is history. Why is the pope stepping down? Let's find out.
I can just about walk. I can't hardly walk. I can't see too far and I can't hear too good.
Well, you may be out of something. He's very, very old. I think the Pope is 85, and he joins us on the phone right now. Hi, Your Holiness. How are you, sir?
Hi. How are you guys today? It's so good to hear from you. Good talk.
Wow. You sound upbeat and chipper. I would imagine that this would be a time of heavy burden for you, sir.
No, the heavy burden is lifted, you know.
Oh, now that you decided to step down?
Yeah. Now that I'm no longer king in the arms raid of the Catholic Church, I'm able to, breathe easier today and relax a little bit, you know?
I see.
Sure. So you got a couple more weeks. February 28th is when you're going to step down at 8 o'clock that night. And then, first of all, let's find out why. What's going on? Are you unhealthy, sir?
Well, I'm not as young as I used to be, you know, 85 years old.
Uh-huh. Right.
It's pretty old to... run the largest religion in the world.
Right.
So
sure, of course.
It's I looked into my soul, into my spirit, and I said, do I still have the spiritual and physical strength to carry on the duties required of the leader of the Catholic Church? And it's just... I can't drink any more wine, eat any more wafers.
All right. Getting kind of tired.
How about mixing it up? How about Sloppy Joe Wednesday or something? The masses. How about passing out some pizza or something? Would it kill them to mix up the menu?
It is kind of a limited dinner menu, that's for sure. But what about all the other popes, including your predecessor, John Paul II, who just hobbled across the finish line? I mean, those guys were super sick, but they never quit.
Yeah, that was stupid of them.
Oh, okay.
They should have, you know, taken some time. Listen, life is short, okay?
Right.
And who knows if all this heaven crap is for real or not. You don't know.
What? Wait, hold on a sec. You're the Pope, though.
I know, but not anymore. I can say the truth. Nobody knows what happens when you die.
Uh-oh. This could be very dangerous.
They only get one go around in life. You know, I don't want to spend it all the time in a robe and a giant hat in a plexiglass bubble driving around.
You know, this kind of talk makes me worry what's going to happen to you when you're ex-Pope. They may try to muzzle you, you know, so you can't speak out.
Ex-Pope. Yeah, sounds like a comic book character. I got giant claws come out of my hands. Ex-Pope.
So, Your Holiness, what do you think you're going to do in retirement?
Well, I want to relax.
Right.
I want to pursue some other interests.
Like what?
More thinking more boys.
I'm sorry?
More boys.
More boys?
Yeah.
You mean...
What do you think I mean?
Well, I'm hoping you don't mean what I think you mean. You mean minister to the children of the world.
Okay. I'm thinking of becoming a Boy Scout leader.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I want to run the Boy Scout troop for Vatican City.
I don't
have,
think...
overnight trips in the woods, you know?
That's not a very good idea.
Sleeping bags, you know?
Your Holiness, that's not...
Pitch a tent, if you know
no.
what I'm saying. Pitch a tent.
Right.
I'm saying pitch a tent.
We understand.
Maybe just more quiet.
I guess we'll use out of this papal staff. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
Just spend more time with the young people. Because they really need the guidance, I think, that a firm hand can give them.
Okay.
Oh, man, am I uncomfortable with this.
I don't like the firm hand at all, actually.
Well, you'd be surprised, I think.
Maybe just...
Why don't you come and go on an overnight camping trip with me?
Maybe
you
just...
your whole opinion, to think.
Let's not go in that direction at all, sir.
But I think I can do a lot for the young people.
Yeah.
And, really, it's the wine and the wafers. I just can't...
He's tired of it.
I understand. No, I got
every,
you.
Every stinking mess, I gotta drink cheap wine.
Right, yeah.
You don't even get the good stuff.
Right.
And these cardboard wafers they serve with the body of Christ. That's the body of Christ? Christ has a crappy tasting body. That's all I gotta say.
All right.
Oh, I just... Oh,
I fear you've said too much. Oh, what? No. Oh. Pope Benedict, come on. This is terrible.
Not
poor guy.
Start the week.
Clean up in the Vatican.
The beautiful actress Grace Park joins us right after the top of the hour from Hawaii 5-0. Still has the best theme song in all of television, by the way.
Okay. You got
I'm just
it.
Saying. 6:51. It's Monday, Ralph. Was that not a category
not
we were
really.
Discussing?
Not really.
Ralph is here. Time for our first look at the year. Second look at the showbiz beat for Monday.
I don't want to alarm anybody.
Uh-oh.
But I was in the office.
No. Yeah.
There's a Cylon in there.
No, that's Grace Park.
No. Okay, whatever you say, Kevin.
That's Grace Park
from
25.
You can believe that, but...
She used to be on Battlestar Galactica.
Battlefield Galactica. I'm not sticking around.
All right. She's a cop now. She's fine.
No way.
She played one on TV.
Somebody call Apollo! Somebody call Adama! She must just be... Just brutalized by sci-fi fans.
Oh, I imagine. Yeah,
because we're not a timid breed.
No.
And you're not smooth either.
No, we're not.
She will never run out of marriage proposals as long as she lives. That's for sure.
That's for sure. All right, let's take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office over the weekend. We do it every Monday morning. Identity Thief. In its debut weekend, $36.6 million. People went to see Jason Bateman and Melissa McCarthy. Warm Bodies was number 2 at the box office, then Side Effects, the new thriller with Jude Law, was 3rd with $10 million. Silver Linings Playbook was 4th, Hansel and Gretel, Witch Hunters was 5th, Mama was 6th, Zero Dark Thirty, Argo, Django Unchained, and Bullet to the Head, rounding out the top 10 at the box office. While we're talking about Identity Thief being the number 1 movie in America, some fallout from a review from legendary film critic Rex Reed, who now writes for the New York Observer. In his scathing review of Identity Thief, he, some people claim, went way off the reservation and started just getting into slamming Melissa McCarthy because of her size.
What? She was funny.
Instead of critiquing the film, he devoted a considerable amount of his review to McCarthy's weight, calling her, amongst other things, tractor-sized, a female hippo.
Oh, my God.
And a humongous creep.
Wow.
Many people are asking, what the hell does this have to do with the movie? And if this movie starred Jack Black or Jonah Hill or Seth Rogen or Kevin James, would he focus in on their size so much while reviewing the film? Many people think not.
I would agree.
Yeah, it's a horrible double standard, and it more importantly has nothing to do with the quality of the film one way or the other.
That movie without Jason Bateman and Melissa McCarthy is a crappy movie, but they're so likable. She's so likable. You could watch her doing anything.
Paul Feig, director of McCarthy's breakout film Bridesmaid, tweeted that Rex Reed could go F himself. And Eric Stone Street from Modern Family tweeted, "Turns out Rex Reed didn't die sad and alone 10 years ago." funny stuff. But he's a dick. Rex Reed's a dick.
Eric Stone Street is in that movie as Big Chuck or something like that. You see his naked ass.
Yeah!
No.
Now I got a reason to go. Little Stone Street ass. That's what I'm talking about.
You've had that on your mind for a long time, Ralph.
I sure have. What do stars do when they hit the red carpet? How do they relax? Well, if you're like Kevin or Dustin Hoffman, you get loaded.
How dare you, sir?
Dustin Hoffman said award shows and red carpets in particular make him nervous, so he calms his jitters with booze. He said it used to be Greyhounds, then moved on to gin, but now he says it's just shots of Patron.
Give him the breathalyzer!
That's how he calms his nerves on the red carpet. I've seen some interviews with Dustin Hoffman, and it all starts to make sense now.
Yes, it does.
He always seems a little loopy on the red carpet in the first place, and now we know why.
Doesn't it seem like a guy like Dustin Hoffman, who's been on red carpets for 50 years,
would
be kind of used to him by now?
You'd think, but some people are, like De Niro, never comfortable in public.
Right.
Just can't get there.
A different skill.
Yeah. Although,
this is why I drink. Yeah. This is why I drink.
For Hoffman, sir. Yeah. He says he never goes to the after parties either. His tradition is to go to In-N-Out Burgers after award ceremonies.
It's a good tradition.
Good choice right there. Since we're talking about award shows, the Grammys, of course, were handed out last night. Congratulations to a few of our artists who did very well for themselves. Black Keys won for Best Rock Album with El Camino and Best Rock Performance for Lonely Boy. Gautier did very well for himself as all, winning the Best Record of the Year award. Album of the Year went to Babel from Mumford & Sons. Song of the Year was Fun. We Are Young, Best New Artist, also Fun. And Best Artist Playing While Soaking Wet in Fake Rain also went to Fun. Why do they dump water on those guys? Don't they like those guys? Why are they dumping water on them?
That was probably in a part of the stage.
I don't think so. I think they were just being mean to those kids. Seemed like nice guys. Everyone talking about the fashion of last night's awards ceremony. Of course, Katy Perry apparently didn't get the memo from CBS that said no curvature of the bosom on the inside or the underside. Please keep everything wrapped up, especially your female breast nipples. So I didn't see her female breast nipples.
Right.
But I did see a curvature or two.
Everything but.
I saw a few curvatures there.
Right.
Jennifer Lopez wore half a dress. One leg was just out there all naked. And Adele wore a couch cover, which I thought was an interesting choice for her. A giant red floral print dress from Valentino. Everyone's saying may not have been the best choice in the world.
No.
Look, I think she's lovely. I think she's super talented. She's one of my favorite artists. But she is a woman of larger proportions.
Sure.
And I think when you perhaps have that body type, you do not want to wear a giant floral print dress.
You do become a curtain.
You do. It gets a little big.
By the way, who has more fun at award shows than Adele?
Nobody. And nobody gives better speeches.
She's
it's just great to be here. J-Lo, look at that over there. All right, bye, everybody. And she's just off the stage. She was great. No long list of names of people at CAA or anything. She just has a good time.
She was great. Yep. I saw her on a 60 Minutes piece where they did a big interview with her, and she just spent the whole time cursing, and they had to beep it out.
She's a gal.
She's a broad.
She loves being who she is, and she's just great.
Can't wait to see her at the Oscars this year as well. And since we're talking about the lovely ladies of the world, congratulations to Kate Upton, who it has been announced will once again be on the cover of the Sports Illustrated Swimsuit Edition for the second year in a row. There have only been four other models who have ever repeated the cover honor. Christie Brinkley did 2 years in a row. Polina Poroskova did 2 years in a row. Elle McPherson did two years in a row. And Tyra Banks also was on two in a row. So
I was very concerned. Look, we all fear that Kevin will die, right? I mean, we can just say that honestly, right? Every weekend, Ralph, you're thinking there's an even chance that he's not going to come in Monday because he'll be dead, right?
I say fear.
When the Kate Upton news came out over the weekend, I was watching, and Kevin did not tweet anything about it. And I thought, well, that's it. He's in a ditch somewhere.
Because it was in the news.
He's in a news. But Kate Upton, no, he does get an automatic news alert to his penis if Kate Upton is involved in a news story. You guys know that.
I didn't realize.
But no word from Kevin for like 2 hours on the Kate Upton news, and I thought we'd lost him. I felt for sure he must be dead.
Yeah. He'll make up for it today.
I was at the Grant. Yeah, I will.
His tweet picture, girl pretty. You like?
He's already tweeted it today. He's already taken care of it today.
Hashtag wrong link.
I was at the Muse show, the pre-Grammy show.
Ah.
Okay. No excuse.
Okay. They don't have any cell service there.
But you're right. It does. It bypasses my phone and does go right to my junk.
Yeah.
Sure.
And it looks like Britney Spears will end up in Vegas after all. Story has come out over the weekend. She is currently in the closing negotiations with the Planet Hollywood Hotel and Casino.
Really?
Yeah. They want to sit her down and make her an artist in residency there. She'll play concerts there throughout the year for what they're saying will be a 2, perhaps 3-year deal. The casino is already currently home to that Peep Show, which is the sexy burlesque show that has a lot of guest stars.
Well, this
one of Hef's girlfriends was the lead for a while. Now it's Coco. She's the lead in that show. And CeeLo Green also has a show there called Liberace, because he's CeeLo. See? Liberace.
I see.
It's Vegas. See? Mm. And so there is. So Britney Spears, Planet Hollywood. That would certainly put them on the map, wouldn't it?
Yes, it would.
Because I thought that was a restaurant.
Me too.
So, shows you what I know. Today's celebrity birthdays. Actress Tina Louise from Gilligan's Island, 79 years old today. Actor Burt Reynolds turned 77. Sheryl Crow is 51. Jennifer Aniston's 44. Damian Lewis of Homeland is 42 years old. Kelly Slater turns 49. Craig Jones, Slipknot, 44 years old. Peter Hayes of Black Rebel Motorcycle Club. Those guys were so good. They played that Sound City event that Grohl did, the musical event after his show. Great set. 37 years old today. Mike Shinoda is 36. Brandy turns 34. Kelly Rowland of Destiny's Child is 32. Daubrey O'Kane of Danity Kane is 29. And Taylor Lautner from the Twilight movies turns 21 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Hit it, Steve. My whole life, it's been my favorite TV show. I said, can you turn the music down so I can introduce the guest, please?
Sorry.
Hawaii 5-0 airs Monday nights at 10 on CBS. Ladies and gentlemen, Grace Park joins us in studio here on the show. She is Kono. Hi, Grace Park. How are you, my dear?
I'm really good. How are you?
I don't mean to be, contentious right out of the gate because you're very kind to come in and we are big fans of yours, but why do you hate America? What's all this nonsense about, no, I don't live in America. No, I'm Canadian. Bleh. What's all that about?
I'm actually American. As well, I'm dual.
So, but you
it's like wherever you grow up, you have your roots there, and that's all it is.
But as a baby, you turned your back on the United States of America.
I did.
Right?
You know, I had to say, Mom, Dad, I need to be fed. I guess I'm coming with you.
You said, screw this country. I'm moving to Canada. You grew up your whole life in Canada.
Let's play this immigration law. Enough with working under the table. Yeah.
So how weird is that to now spend virtually all of your time in Hawaii when you're used to living in Vancouver your whole life? Talk about just changing your whole world upside down.
Yeah, exactly. I'm already used to not having sun most of the year.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a little strange to have that much beating down. It's a little too bright for me. I don't know what to do with it. But honestly, like I'll like cover my arms in my car with a jacket or something. People are like, what's wrong with you? It's Hawaii.
You're supposed to love the sun.
Mm-hmm. As an actress, you're just, you know, just happy to get on a hit show, but I'm sure it had to be a serious consideration of yours as, wow, do I want to live 3,000 miles away from home for the rest of my, you know, next few years?
Exactly. Minimum 3 time zones away, you know, about a 6-hour flight to the next closest place.
Right.
Besides the other island. But the thing is, but I knew at the time it would be better to shoot in Hawaii versus L.A. or somewhere else. A few years into it, would I mind it moving to L.A. now? Like, no. I think it would be kind of fun to have a change of scenery. But because we know the culture a little bit better, the pronunciation and stuff like that. But obviously we have like a really good thing going. The crew's good. So we're not going to – I don't think we're going to get up and go anywhere.
And you spend how much time a year there?
From April – or from – yeah, 10 months.
10 months. How often do you leave and come back?
This year has been a little lighter because we've introduced new characters. So once a month, I go home or so.
Oh, that's nice. That's nice.
Yeah, but I think at the beginning, I went home like 3 times a year.
You could be stuck someplace worse.
Oh, yeah, I know. Come on, this is Hawaii.
You know, you do that all the time.
Oh, yeah.
It's, It's so funny. Of course, we're going to talk about the show, but I'm just so fascinated with what it's like to live in Hawaii, because many of us are lucky enough to go to Hawaii on vacation in our lives. And we go there and we go, it's paradise. It's America, yet it's the, you know, it's an island paradise. It's gorgeous. I can't imagine ever not wanting to live here. But the people who do move there, a lot of them are disappointed or end up with island fever. Or what's your experience been like? I mean, is it a great place to live?
Well, I mean, there's so many beautiful things about Hawaii, but if you get on one side of the island in a car and drive to the other end, it's like an hour and a half, you know? If you need to see things, you know, be where it's all, like, the center of all things happening, there's a lot of stuff happening there, but yeah, it is a rock, like the joke, it's the rock, you know, or whatever. And yeah, you might get island fever. I myself have kind of some OCD, I'm very detail-oriented, so I'm, you know, pretty good, like, at home, like, you know, with lint. I don't even need to outside of my block.
The lint party is the excitement in your life?
I never said it was exciting. I just said I'm very preoccupied.
Okay. What Grace is saying, as long as she has a fuzz on her sweater, she doesn't run out of things to do.
I know. There's no end to things in my house to do.
Now, tell me about playing Kono on Hawaii Five-0, because it's a very physical role. You're obviously, you look like you're in great shape and very active anyway, but has it tested you at all?
Oh yeah, absolutely. Cause when I did Battlestar, that was action, but that was a lot more, gun type action. And so I was very comfortable with that. And then they had me, I think, on episode 2, a full on girl fight. It read like a feature film. It felt like it took a whole page, just in the stage directions. And I was mortified because I didn't know how to do any of these things. But thank goodness a lot of it was like throw her in the pool, throw each other against a bookshelf, you know, vases breaking. It wasn't all these fancy kicks and stuff like that, which I don't know how to do. But I think it took me almost 2 years of being nervous before every single fight before I finally was like, okay, that's it. I'm like, I can't do this anymore. I have to start training.
It was two years before you trained.
Yeah, it was two. I know.
I like that.
It took me a little while.
I like that lack of commitment.
Hey, I went once a week for a month and then I broke my foot. And then, but I didn't know for 2 months. So, of course, I kept doing stuff on it.
Sure.
Tell me about, and I'm sure you get asked this question all the time, about the cliffhanger for season 2, where it looks like your character drowns. I mean, that looked like it was really you and it was really in the water.
Oh, no, we green screened it all. That wasn't even me. It was me. I was pretty petrified because they were like, you're going to be underwater, you're going to be gagged, you're going to be drowning, and you're going to be bound your wrists and your ankles.
Oh,
but there'll be tearaways. And every time I read it on the page, I would hold my breath, and then, you know, you're starting to panic already. So I was a little bit scared, but I was actually way more traumatized by the pilot when I was in the shore break on the North Shore in Waimea Bay, where she comes out of the water. You can't tell because I just pop out of the water. You miss the 30 takes where I got trounced, right?
They'd
be like, just put your head underwater and pop out and start the scene. I go, okay, right? I didn't know anything about, like, Vancouver, we have another island buffeting the Pacific Ocean. I go in and they said, all you saw was my legs come up and shoot up the shore 30 feet. And then I would come up like sideways and they'd be like, we can't use that. Or they'd be like, action. I'd be like, sand everywhere. I look terrible.
You're like, are you kidding? I have to do it for the 30th time?
Oh, and I just kept doing it, you know, because I was like this little trooper. Just keep going.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. And then so I was pretty traumatized by that. And I said, is it in a shore break? And they're like, well, you're bound and you're gagged. But is it in a shore break? No. Okay, I'm fine. That's all I wanted to know.
Have you taken up surfing or anything like that since you've lived there?
Surfing, I can't do it. No, I was
you
just too traumatized.
It.
No, because of that incident. So people keep saying,
what's
hey,
wrong
do
with you,
wanna, you,
seriously?
Do you want to go surfing? I could take you out. I'd be like, yeah, you know what, maybe next week. For sure, yeah. I just don't have time. Like, I'm a little tired today. And I just kept doing that for a year, and I finally realized I'm petrified of going back in there.
Isn't that interesting?
Well, most people don't start their experience by getting drowned and beat up and all that.
Yeah, and then just keep saying, do it again. With, like, a weapon attached to your foot.
Right, sure.
I know. I'm chicken. I'm totally letting people down. But hey, man, that's me.
Hawaii Five-0 is the show. It airs Monday nights at 10 on CBS. Much more with our guest Grace Park when we return right after this on the Kevin and Bean Show on Camera. Got some highlights, audio highlights of last night's Grammy Awards for you coming up next here on the Kevin and Bean Show. And Robert Kirkman, creator of The Walking Dead, joins us in the 8 o'clock hour. Right now we're talking Hawaii Five-0 on CBS. Another new episode tonight at 10. Actress Grace Park in studio. By the way, Grace, you watch Walking Dead?
No, I do not. I have not. I'm stockpiling all the good series,
yeah.
And then I'm going to put them all on DVD and then just Yeah. And then when I'm done acting, I'm going to watch them all.
Then you're going to take like three, four years and just go through them all. One right after another.
That's right at the top.
So your life must be constantly walking around going, no, no spoiler alerts, no spoiler alerts, because you haven't seen anything, right? Like people are trying to talk to you about the Breaking Bad and about Arrested Development and The Wire, and you're like, no, I'm saving them all until I'm
Absolutely.
Tired.
Absolutely. I know. Even with Daniel, he's given me season one of Lost, and I haven't watched it yet. He just rolls his eyes now. He just never expects me to watch it.
You haven't seen Lost
Don't
yet.
Tell me anything. I know people, because a lot of the same crew are on the show, and they'll kind of make references.
Oh,
I'm like, what
sure.
is it? I mean, don't tell me.
That's hilarious. Daniel Day-Kim.
Well, they all get off. Everything's fine. Don't worry about it.
Daniel Day-Kim is one of your great co-stars on Hawaii Five-0. He plays Chin Ho. By the way, here's how much of a Hawaii Five-0 fan I am, Grace. She's gone now, but I had a dog named Chin Ho. She was 15 years old when she died. Yeah, her full name was Cam Fong as Chin Ho, in reference to the original show. But let's talk about guest stars on Hawaii Five-0, because it's crazy how every week I tune in and it's like, here's James Marsters, here's Jimmy Buffett, here's, you know what I mean?
Yeah, fill in the blanks. Yeah, we have singers and football players, models.
Robert England,
rappers,
Apollo like, Ono.
It doesn't start. Yeah, I love how you actually know their names. I don't.
How does it happen?
I don't know, and I wish it would stop. No, I'm kidding. It's kind of amazing. People are like, oh, Ed Asner. I'm like, They're like, you don't know. And I'm like, oh, of course I know him as soon as I see him. But I'm terrible. Like, because everyone else, all IMD people, they'll know all the stuff. And I'll just, like, wait. And, you know, we had Dog the Bounty Hunter the other day. And I didn't even meet them. You know, I could have. But I just, I don't know. I just.
Said no interest
I'm
in dog?
I'm shy. I'm just, yeah. No. No.
Are you the one that always says,
remember,
I don't
I'm
know who
saving
that is.
Dog
I don't
the
know
Bounty
who that
is. Hunter, too. Oh. Don't ruin anything.
But it's not that easy, though, for a show to take Dennis Miller, say, and work him into your show where it doesn't become just strictly stunt casting and a big distraction.
Is he on the show?
Hawaii Five-0 does, of course he was. But Hawaii Five-0 does a pretty good job, though, of managing to kind of work them in ways that kind of make sense.
I know. It's kind of like magic because, honestly, a lot of these I feel like the show is going to collapse under the weight of someone huge coming under the show. Like when we had Puff Daddy, it's like, we can't survive this. Like people, you've come, Mr. Combs. There was all these like rules even that we
really?
Had.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Were those
rules?
His rules?
What were the rules for him? You had to call him Mr. Combs?
I think they suggested. Like I don't think it was his people, you know, that said that.
It
but
was
I
his
think,
people.
Okay.
But go ahead.
Were you allowed to
people,
it?
But not
we
him.
Weren't allowed to give it away. No.
Were you allowed to look him in the eye?
Yeah. No. I don't, she didn't say anything about that. Nothing about M&Ms, none of that stuff.
All right.
But sometimes it's like so-and-so's favorite drink is Pepsi, or like they'll say like very specific things to do. And it's
well, he's a sponsor. That's why, I mean, that's his.
No, it wasn't for him. It was somebody else.
Oh, I
got it. It was for a politician. I don't know how they do it, but somehow everyone just kind of blends into the show, and I think it's kind of really cool. I'm actually a little bit fascinated how they're able to do that so well.
That's amazing. The writers are amazing that way because a lot of times as stunt cast, you go, it pulls you out of the story. You just go, oh, that's
right.
So,
absolutely.
Right.
I did a show where there was a lot of that, and I thought this would be the same, and it's not.
Hmm. Hawaii Five-0 is Monday nights at 10. How we're in season 3 right now?
We are, yeah.
How long do you think the show's going to go? Because it seems like it's more popular now than ever.
Yeah, it's kind of hard to say because some people think like maybe 5, 6, and people like there's like people throw numbers around 8, and then once in a while there's like a 12, and it's like don't get too long. But I don't see how the show can't keep going. You know, you have this beautiful backdrop, you have action, there's this buddy cop drama, the humor, and it's just going great, and like you can keep adding in new characters, and they just become a bigger family. Like there's I guess Kamakona's cousin or brother, like Flippa. I don't even know who he is, and he keeps showing up, and I like it. I don't even know what it is. I like it. It's like a certain mentality, and you get into it, and it's just, you know, once you
are going to have so much TV to watch when this show finally gets canceled. My God. We're never going to see Grace Parker again. She's going to go underground in a bunker for like 10 years with a DVD player.
Me and my lint. It's going to be perfect.
Exactly. All right. Well,
I
we're
do not
out of time.
Have any fascination with lint, by the way.
is tonight the Fight Club episode? I think they've been teasing it.
Is it tonight?
Summer Glau? No?
Is it?
I don't know.
I think it is. I think you're right, Kevin. I think tonight is Christine Lottie, Treat Williams, and Summer Glau are all guest stars on tonight's episode. Yeah.
Are you on the show? For real?
Have you seen the show?
I'm actually a stand-in for Grace. She just tells me what to say.
You're
She's
a dead ringer.
It in my ear right
you
now.
You do look so much like her. Well, it's nice to meet you, whoever you are. So that band, Fun, had a pretty big night at the Grammys last night, winning Best New Artist and also the Song of the Year award for We Are Young. How much Grammys did you see last night, by the way, Kevin?
Most. I saw all but it when Walking Dead was on.
Nate Russ, lead singer of that band, gets up and he says, when they were winning the Song of the Year, he says, I don't know what I was thinking writing this song. If this is in HD, then everyone can see our faces, and we are not very young. So he had a sense of humor about it. But, man, they had a great night. What do you think in general of the show? I mean, I know it's way too long, and I know that there are some genres of music that you and a lot of people don't care about.
Well,
but in general, what do you think
country
of the show?
Was over... supported. There was too much country, didn't you think?
Overrepresented?
Yes.
Really? Were there a lot? I thought there were a couple of country numbers, but
country numbers, country awards. I don't know. It just seemed like it was too much. Well, I don't like country.
Their own awards. Why did they need
it? They have a country music award. That's right. But you see, it was more our music than it's been in 15 years.
Absolutely. Having Mumford and Sons perform and Fun and Jack White and the Black Keys. Absolutely.
So that was
definitely
nice.
It was definitely a nice night for K-Rock. That's for sure. Did you stick around for Frank Ocean? Did you see him near the end of the show?
Perform?
Yes.
Was that crazy piano walking thing?
Forrest Gump was the song that he
Forrest
recorded.
Gump. Yes,
Forrest Gump. Here's a little bit of this. Forrest Gump. And then he did something so weird that all I could think was Kevin and Bean Whistle the Hits. Look, the mocking that we took for Kevin and Bean Whistle the Hits, but I'm here to tell you that it looks like 2013, kids. Whistling is coming back.
Yeah. It's the year of the whistling.
Takes a lot of guts to stand up on stage in front of a worldwide audience of, you know, tens of millions of people and just whistle, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's really weird.
It's so... Frank Ocean is just such an oddball, too, because he seems painfully shy when he was up winning awards. I mean, he just seems really, really uncomfortable with the attention. And, look, a lot of people love his Channel Orange album. I did, too. I've listened to it a bunch, you know, in the past year. It was nominated for Album of the Year. But every time he has the opportunity... to really bring it home, to like close, you know, to make himself a huge star by a dynamic performance in front of a lot of people who have never seen it before. It almost seems like he goes the opposite way and just does something so quiet, and he just seems so fragile. He's fascinating to me, but he's different from anybody else who's out there with the choices that he makes at shows like this.
Even when Jay-Z won, he let him talk, Frank Ocean talk. Or
mumble. And in fact, that was another one of the highlights of the night is because that No Church in the Wild song that won had a bunch of people on it, including Jay-Z, who's so cool he doesn't have to take the mic.
Yeah.
But Frank Ocean got up and talked, and then The Dream, who also was on the song, he got up and talked, and he was wearing just a ridiculous outfit, including a including a crazy scarf wrapped around his head, and he had tons of gold jewelry on, and he was wearing this ridiculous hat on top, and Jay-Z did, as right before he walked off on stage, walked up to the microphone and had the line of the night talking about The Dream.
I would like to thank the swap meet for his hat. Thank you, guys.
And Jay-Z, and that's all Jay-Z said in that entire speech.
That's all he said. Yeah. He's just so awesome that he steps up in like five words, has the line of the night. He's just the cool. You know, it's like having the president in the room when Jay-Z is there. Like, everybody's looking at him to see what he's doing, what he likes. And it was actually very cool, I thought, when he just walked out of his seat when Justin Timberlake was performing, walked up on stage, did his verse in suit and tie, and then turned around and just walked back down. He just nailed it.
Yep.
He's just the absolute coolest. A couple other presenters I thought had some very funny moments, including Kelly Clarkson, who, by the way, mock American Idol all you want. Kelly Clarkson has turned into an actually great recording and performing artist.
Yeah, but, okay, American Idol gave her start, but she certainly has taken it from there on her own.
She's tremendous.
Yeah.
I mean, you could look at performances from last night or any other Grammys and hold them up against her vocal performance that she did last night. And it was just, you know, just her and an acoustic guitar, and she was just tremendous.
I fast-forwarded through that. I didn't know either of the songs.
Oh, she was great. Well, they were older songs because they were paying tribute to people who had won Lifetime Achievement Awards.
Then she
screwed up, which is everybody's fear when you're reading an announcement on live TV. She screwed up the name of the person who won the award she was given. Here's Kelly.
And the Grammy goes to...
First, she can't open the envelope, and then...
Zach Brown Band, Uncaged.
I'm pretty sure Zach Braff didn't win a Grammy last night.
Wouldn't that be awesome if he did?
That was very funny. Katy Perry.
Yeah.
Couldn't have looked any better at the Grammys last night.
She had quite the cleavage on...
Yeah, I saw you tweeted that.
I figured the people needed to see it.
In fact, J-Lo, who earlier in the night had gotten up on stage with all of one leg showing all the way up to her hoo-ha, she got up and she said this.
So,
As you can see, I read the memo.
Which is in reference to CBS basically coming out and saying, ladies, don't show too much. But Katy Perry just was boobalicious last night, and she got up and I thought had a hilarious moment on stage. And I'm not just laughing at her because she's pretty. I thought this was really funny as she was getting ready to give the Best New Artist Award.
This is my favorite award of the night, everyone. Best New Artist. So congratulations to all the nominees here tonight. And if you don't win, don't worry. I was never even nominated in this category. And I have my own eyelash line. Take that, Bonnie Bear.
Suck it, Bonnie Bear. My own eyelash line. We talked earlier about how delightful Adele is on stage. She won Album of the Year at the Grammys last year, of course, and this year she got to present that award.
It really is wonderful to be back at the Grammys. Thanks for having me. Now, most artists who win Album of the Year tend to go on to have even more phenomenal global success, embark on humongous tours, or get knocked up like last year's winner.
Well, there you go. That's what happened to Adele. The low point for me was LL Cool J as the host. What did you guys think about him?
I thought he was all right, but I didn't need him.
Yeah, I didn't need
I didn't think he brought everything to a halt, but he didn't help either.
He was enthusiastic, obviously. I mean, he was cheerleading for the music that was great, but he wasn't particularly interesting or funny. And I thought that CBS was trying so hard last night to prove how hip they were by acknowledging that Twitter exists.
That drove me crazy.
They would not stop talking about Twitter. Look, Twitter is not a difficult concept, CBS. Two-year-olds can tweet. It's not that hard to do. You don't have to spend an hour of a three-and-a-half-hour show talking about goddamn Twitter.
We're back on music's biggest and most tweeted night. Now, follow me on Twitter, at LL Cool J. I'm reading all your tweets. And yes, I see your point. At Carrie Underwood is very cool.
What's the point of that?
That is, I'll tell you what it is. They're begging people to tweet about the Grammys, and that drove me crazy.
That was annoying, wasn't it?
Yes. Take it easy. Don't hit us over the head with how much you want us to tweet.
If we wanted to tweet about the Grammys, we all know how to do it. It's not brand new technology. Ugh. And it was just so much like, I'm already hosting this major awards show, but how can I be even more, hey, look at me? That's what it seemed like every time he would talk about
this. But it wasn't just...
In fact, as the host of the hashtag Grammys, I'm going to tweet a photo I just took of Carrie backstage and... keep being social, everybody.
Yeah, keep being social, everybody. That's the message to take away, I think,
from the Grammys. Remember what he was saying? Coming up, hashtag so-and-so, hashtag so-and-so, hashtag so-and-so. I was like, stop
Having said that, I will tell you that the last performance of the show, if you want to check it out on YouTube or on the CBS site, you really ought to, because it was awfully cool for a Grammy show to have Chuck D, LL Cool J, who, by the way, is still a terrific rapper, even though I don't, you know, care for him much as a host. Tom Morello, Z Trip, Travis Barker. I hope you stuck around for that, Kevin.
Yeah, that was
great. That was very, very cool way to end the show. So that's it. The 55th Annual Grammy Awards are history. Friday morning here on the show, we had Beer Mug round one of his interviews of what they call the Grammy Roundtables, which is where he sits in a booth and people bring guests by for him to talk to. And they were spectacular. I am told, Ralph Garman, that round two are even better.
What?
Yes, I know that's hard.
It's hard.
Ground over so amazing.
It's really
possible.
It's hard to judge. It's like art. You can't really put something over another. You know, it's hard to single something out and say this is better than that.
We have brand new Beer Mug interviews for you coming up later in the show. And Robert Kirkman, creator of The Walking Dead, joins
Robert
us right after the
wrote
top.
The movie The Walking Dead.
When can we let that go?
Never.
First, you just
had to read words on a piece of paper.
But we were in Vegas.
It wasn't a quiz show. I wasn't asking you off the top of your head, do you know who this is?
But we were in Las Vegas.
No, we were in a bar downtown in Los Angeles. It was St. Patrick's Day.
Is that what it was?
Yes.
But we were in
Las
Vegas.
You don't even know where you were. We were not in Vegas.
You Kevin know, swears you were in Las
where
Vegas.
We were.
Wait, what, Dave?
It was Vegas.
Thank you!
No, it wasn't Vegas.
Suck it, Garmin!
It wasn't Vegas. Yeah.
I think it was, because I remember.
It was Vegas at the Luxor.
No, it was St. Patrick's Day at that bar downtown where Omar got in trouble.
It doesn't
Chip
matter.
Chip agrees. It's Vegas. Sorry, Ralph.
Who agrees?
Chip.
What a shame.
Hey, you guys are always yelling at me for not putting money on it. You guys want to make a little wager on where it was?
Yeah, I'll bet it's Vegas. I'll bet it's Vegas.
Ralph?
Now they got me doubting. But I remember sitting there at that bar and talking.
Omar says it was totally Vegas because he was running the board. And Omar was at the...
Well, that must have been Vegas. Well, there you go. Yeah. Well,
doesn't matter. I was an idiot. That's the important
takeaway. We can all agree on that.
No matter what city we were in, he was still Robert Kingman, who wrote a movie called Walking Dead.
That's correct. Yes,
we can agree on that.
Both his name and the project's name wrong.
Yes.
All right. Time for the Ralph Showbiz Beat, and then we'll get Mr. Kirkman in here.
Listen up, boys and girls down there in Long Beach. You know, we have not a lot of listeners down there. We are finally, we've heard your cries. We've heard your belly aching. You don't want to drive up here to see me and Kevin Smith to our Hollywood Babylon show. So we're bringing it to you. We're coming to Long Beach this Saturday, February the 16th at 10 p.m. at the Laugh Factory in Long Beach. The 10 o'clock show on Saturday night will be Kevin Smith and myself doing our Hollywood Babylon live for you down there in Long Beach. So you can go to CSMOD, CSMOD.com, and click on the link there, and it'll take you there. You can buy tickets and come see us. I think there's still some left. We've been on sale for a while, so they may be sold out. I don't think so. So go get some tickets and come see us in Long Beach, you lazy bastards. We're finally coming down.
I don't want to drive on the way up there to see you.
All right, we'll come to you. And what's next? We just go house to house, just door to door, doing jokes for you?
God, the house tour.
It's Monday. That means we take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office. Identity Thief, new comedy starring Melissa McCarthy and Jason Bateman, was number one at the box office by a considerable amount, $36.6 million.
This is one of those rare instances, Ralph, where Hollywood is way wrong on their predictions. Weren't they calling for around 20, low 20s for this movie?
Yes.
And the audience just ate it up.
And I think it was a good weekend because there wasn't much really in terms of competition. Warm Bodies was in its second week at that point as number two at the box office, a little over $11 million. Side Effects was that Jude Law thriller, not really a competition for a comedy, made $10 million, made it number three. Silver Linings Playbook and Hansel and Gretel Witch Hunters were the top five. Mama, Zero Dark Thirty, Argo, Django Unchained, and Bullet to the Head were the rest of the top ten. Just out of the top ten at number 11, Top Gun 3D. Woo! Playing with the boys.
Did you go see it?
I did not.
Think you would.
No, I missed it. Missed out this weekend. Busy. So busy this weekend. I was busy negotiating on Britney Spears' behalf with Planet Hollywood.
I'm sorry?
Yeah, I'm her new agent.
I didn't realize.
Oh, you're handling that?
Oh, yeah, I'm handling her now. Yeah. Trust me, I'm handling her. Yeah. Britney Spears apparently in talks with Planet Hollywood, which I did not know is owned by Caesars.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah. To be their artist in residency there. She would be a ongoing performer at Planet Hollywood Hotel and Casino. And potentially earn like $100 million a year. Crazy.
You're a good agent.
Well, I like to do well by my clients. CeeLo Green is already there.
I'm sorry, Ralph. I'm sorry to interrupt. But just on the Britney tip, look, we mock. But if you guys were in Las Vegas, you'd consider going to see Britney Spears in concert, right?
No.
No.
Okay.
No.
It's tough for me to want to go see any show in Vegas because you can drink and gamble, and those two win.
Yeah, those are your options. Yeah,
Back to you.
I don't think I would go see her.
But you read the room well, B.
Yes, but thanks for interrupting the story for that completely false notion.
And didn't we think about how much those tickets were going to cost? Didn't we hear it was a ridiculous
like
amount of money?
$500 a piece or something like
no
that.
No way.
Yeah, no. It's going to be a lot of very rich Asian dudes in her audience every night. CeeLo Green's already there with a show called Lo Baracci.
Huh?
And Peep Show. The burlesque show is also at that place. I never heard of Peep Show. I didn't know where they were doing it, though. So, look, this is already more press for Planet Hollywood than they've received in a long time.
Sure.
Since, you know, Arnold Schwarzenegger put his Terminator jacket behind glass, wherever it was. Remember, there used to be a restaurant, right? It was like the Hard Rock.
Yeah, and Sylvester
but for movies, Stallone and Willis and Schwarzenegger, they had a restaurant. You go and see props and costumes from movies. And then the last I heard, it went out of business. And now they have Hotel and Casino. What happened? They failed up. Now they're going to have Britney Spears singing every night.
You guys going to go see her in Las Vegas sometime?
Oh.
Wow. It's a good question, though.
It's Monday, and I'm already winded with this one. I've already had my full of this one over here.
No.
You guys watch Up All Night, the NBC sitcom?
No. I have watched it.
Well, they're in a tailspin right now. They're in just a crisis mode over there. Ratings have dropped 30%, and so they've decided to change it from a single camera show to a live audience show. They're going to do a sitcom style in front of a live audience with three cameras on one set, as opposed to the single camera technique they use currently.
Don't do it.
That does not sit well with star Christina Applegate, so she's quitting the show.
Oh.
And that looks like they're going to have to recast and replace her with another actress.
What does it take to
Will
pull
Arnett?
The plug?
How much in disarray does the show have to be
Man.
Where they just give up the ghost? Rumor has it Lisa Kudrow will step in to replace Christina Applegate. I wonder if it'll be the same wife, like Bewitched. It'll just be a brand new Darren, or
talk to her like she's always been there.
Yeah, so that sounds like a mess over there.
Huh?
Why is Brittany still asking?
She's very confused.
I understand that.
About everything.
Today's celebrity birthdays.
Huh?
They're people who were born on this date, Brittany. Tina Louise from Gilligan's Island. She was Ginger on that show, 79. Burt Reynolds is 77. Sheryl Crow is 51. Jennifer Aniston's 44. Damian Lewis, star of Homeland, is 42. Mike Shinoda from Linkin Park's 36. And Taylor Lautner from the Twilight Saga movies is 21 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and this is the Kevin and Bean Show at 10 minutes after 8 o'clock.
Try to be professional. We have a guest, for God's sake.
But he's Robert Kirkman, so...
I don't expect you guys to be professional at
right.
all.
He knows us.
Exactly. Creator of The Walking Dead joins us in the studio. You know, Kevin was just telling you he had a similar experience to me last night, which was that the best part of the Grammys was the hour that I wasn't watching it because I flipped over to watch The Walking Dead. So thank you for that. I wanted the zombies to kill LL Cool J last night. That's what my life was like, Robert.
My life's goal is to make the Grammys awesome, so thank you.
You did a great job. So much to talk about since the last time we had you, and thank you very much for the time. You're always very generous with K-Rock, and we appreciate that.
You got two more minutes. I gotta go.
Take me back before we talk about where we are in the book and in the TV series. Take me back to 2003. This is the 10-year anniversary of the first Walking Dead comic book.
Yeah, 2003. I'm in a horrible house in the red light district of Kentucky, living like two doors down from a strip club, and I go, hey, it'd be really nice to, see what it would be like if, this zombie movie kind of stuff, like, just went on forever and never ended.
Sweet. So you made that happen.
Yeah. And then things started looking up for me after that. It was pretty cool.
Was it an immediate hit when you released the first book?
You know, it was a huge hit for me because I'd been doing comics for like 4 years by that point, and everything I had done had been canceled, and and The Walking Dead didn't get canceled, and so I was like, well, this is good. So there were levels of success. There was not canceled, then there was doing a little bit better than it was, and then it kind of started exploding, and over the course of like 3 or 4 years, it started growing into something pretty big.
And a TV show that didn't get canceled, and then it's still moving on.
I thought the TV show was going to get canceled, too. I remember before it aired, I was like, this is not going to last. Zombies on TV? Why are they doing this?
I would have burned this place down had it not. And I don't know why this place is to blame, but...
How unlikely... I mean, when you got the call that somebody was interested in a meeting to make a television show about it, I'm sure you thought, well, I got nothing to lose. I might as well go in and talk to them. But in a million years, you never expected that it would be green-lighted and then made and then aired, right?
I mean, no. I really have to hand it to AMC for taking the risk on that. I mean, there had never really been a zombie show on TV, and trying new things is not something that television networks are known to do.
That's for
and,
sure.
You know, really, yeah. I was, I had hoped. I was like, oh, you know, this is kind of unique. You know, I could see an audience kind of, you know, latching onto this, but never in a million years. I think it would actually happen.
And you must have been, if you can take me back to when you first saw the pilot, you must have just been so thrilled with the choices that they, and I know you were involved in it, but the way the actors were cast and the way they acted and the way they kind of brought your words to life.
Yeah, I mean, that pilot is really something special. I have to hand it to Frank Darabont, who wrote and directed that. I mean, it's really a phenomenal piece of work, and, you know, it's something that we still strive to top on the show even to this day. I mean, you know, seeing, you know, Lenny James and Andrew Lincoln working in those scenes and having it be, you know, so quiet and so desolate and all the different things that they did in that episode,
Right, right.
Greg Nicotero's work, which is still, amazing to this day.
Was Carl in that one?
I don't
remember.
Briefly, I think he was in the one scene where they show the...
He needs to die.
Yeah,
come on, Kevin, with that. Please, no, you stop just, with Kill Carl.
I'm just
stop.
Saying, he needs to die.
Next episode.
What is it like in the Walking Dead universe when there's this big gap like we just experienced the last 2 months of no Walking Dead? Does the excitement dissipate a little bit, do you think, or does it just become fever pitch for its return?
Fan-wise, I don't really know. I mean, the comic comes out every month, and we had, the big video game launch, over Christmas and everything. So there's always something going on. Television show-wise, I can say behind the scenes, we're working nonstop year-round. I think we just, wrapped up season 3 pretty much, and there's still a little bit to do.
How does it end?
Carl dies. And then... I'm going to get in trouble now.
No, he's kidding, people.
But, hey, you're the guy who can kill Carl, though. You're the one who's allowed to kill Carl.
This is Kevin. I'm not kidding. Carl should die. But Robert, who makes the show, was just joking.
Exactly, yeah. I mean, that's that mid-season, season three. What are they even calling him now? It's a mid-season finale, I guess. I want to say end of part
All
one or whatever it was.
Here. Yeah,
that just
like a mid-season,
talk,
I don't know.
You talk about, and you've had some cliffhangers in episodes past, but you talk about leaving us just panting, waiting for you guys to come back. I mean, to have Daryl and Merle, you know, in that situation, we should say, spoiler alert, to have that in that situation where they're a
spoiler alert.
We're led to believe that they're going to have to fight each other to the death. I mean, that was one of those payoffs that we had been waiting for so long. Just like when Rick and the governor finally meet. I mean, that's just something we just can't even wait for because, you know.
Spoiler alert.
But that hasn't happened yet. But I mean, that must be that's the fun of creating is imagining what's going to happen in these situations.
Yeah. And, you know, it's really kind of an art to, you know, leaving people hanging and finding that moment that's really going to, you know, sustain the viewership over the, you know, 2.5 month gap. You know, you have to, you know, make sure they're all going to come back. So,
well, that did it. Yeah. I mean, especially because the brothers hadn't talked for a long, long time. And you didn't know if Merle was going to really fight for real or what was going to happen with it when they met. I mean, that was a good one.
Well, it's really interesting because people don't even realize this. Merle and Daryl haven't really been together in the show at all except for the vision that Daryl had when he was, you know, all torn up and hanging off a cliff in season two. So, you know, episode 8 is really the first time that they've, you know, officially appeared together. And, you know, now the episode that aired on Sunday, you know, that's really our first.
Spoiler alert.
I find that really distracting. But
this is a spoiler comment I'm about to make. If you haven't seen last night's Walking Dead, please tune away.
Do it again.
You can't. Spoiler alert.
I pressed the wrong button.
I will tell you, though, that I thought our only two options are either one of them dies or they're going to go with Camp A or they're going to go with Camp B. I never foresaw what ended up happening with them, which was none of the above.
Yeah. We try to keep people guessing. No, and really, that's something true to those characters. I mean, they've been on the road on their own for, you know, a long time leading up to, you know, the events of season one, which they've mentioned a few times. And, you know, now they're doing their own thing. I mean, they're survivalists. Who knows if they'll ever be in the show again?
You do.
Interesting question from the guy who knows.
And I will tell you, seeing, and I know we have to take a break here with our guest, Robert Kirkman from The Walking Dead. By the way, brand new website just launched, thewalkingdead.com, with lots of cool stuff. We'll talk about that when we come back, too. But I will say that seeing what Rick is going through right now with this apparent mental breakdown and seeing how
– spoiler alert.
Out of sorts the governor is with everything that's going on in his world collapses. I mean, you couldn't have – it couldn't be more exciting to see these two characters just going through these massive upheavals and wondering what that means for the future. But we'll talk about all this when we return with Mr. Kirkman right after this on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hey, Lisa, it's a world-famous K-Rock at 8:23.
Robert Kirkman foolishly agreed to come back on the Kevin and Bean Show. He is here. He is the creator of The Walking Dead. It airs Sunday nights at 9 on AMC. By the way – I know this commercial has been running for a while, but I really paid attention to it last night. They're starting the show in reruns again from the beginning on Thursday in black and white.
What? Yeah.
What's happening?
What?
What's going on?
The comic book is black and white, so I think there's a precedent there that it's kind of cool to see it. And also, I mean, it gives it a different feel. So it's, you know, cable shows rerun shows. AMC's trying something a little different where they're rerunning a show.
Oh, but it's the same network.
In a somewhat different format. Yeah.
They should make it silent.
Just put little cards out,
well,
right?
We're just going to make Carl silent to make you happy.
I'm in. I like it.
That is interesting, and you can tell AMC knows what they have because it does seem like every holiday comes around and it's a Walking Dead marathon or a Walking Dead weekend. It's hard not to see The Walking Dead on AMC, right?
Yeah, they do a really good job of, you know, helping to build that audience. I mean, if it's Thanksgiving and there's nothing really to do, you know, you watch Walking Dead all day long. Which
sure, what says Thanksgiving
cool.
more than Walking Dead?
Exactly.
You know?
I'm sure you get a well, you tell me, especially with the new WalkingDead.com, do you get a tremendous amount of fan feedback? In other words, do fans reach out and try to guide the story in the direction that they want?
Yeah, I mean, we have a letters column in the book that receives a lot of mail, and I have a Twitter feed that, you know, I get a lot of comments. I get a lot of weird comments like, why can't the show be on every week? Or, you know, why aren't the episodes 4 hours long? You know?
Have you ever had a suggestion from a viewer or a reader of something that you hadn't thought about that you then ended up incorporating?
For legal reasons, I can't answer that question.
Oh, I guess that makes a lot of
sense. That's a yes. That's a big yes.
The answer is no. I mean, we do have a weird thing where we get comments on episodes and things like that after we've shot the 8 episodes that come after
that.
Oh,
sure, yeah.
So there's a lot of like, oh, this should happen. And we've already done that like months ago. And so I'm like, that guy's going to be pretty happy.
Is there ever any kind of, I don't know if pressure's the right word, but I mean, people die on this show and sometimes they're major characters who die on this show. Is that something where you have a big, like a powwow with everybody and weigh in whether it's worth it or not to lose that character if he's very popular or she's very popular with the fans?
Yeah, I mean, it starts in the writer's room.
See you as a powwow kind of guy. I see you as just ruling.
Oh, yeah. No, that's not that's not how it is at all.
Not the case.
But no, I mean, we sit around in the writer's room and we craft story, and in the crafting of that story, sometimes, you know, these events come up, and, you know, it's always about how it affects the other characters and how it affects the overall story. And, you know, once it comes out of the writer's room, it gets pitched to the producers and the network, and, you know, everybody's got to kind of sign off on that stuff. I mean, it's those decisions are taken very seriously.
Do the actors read every script with the hope that they're not going to be killed off?
I think a couple of them must just want to be off the show. You know, they're getting a script and they're like, I didn't die in this one. Come on. But I think most of them don't want to die.
It is. I'm sure. Yeah, of course. It is fascinating, though, when a show is fortunate enough to be on for multiple seasons to see the arc of a character. I mean, you look at somebody like Glenn, for instance. I mean, look how different he is now than the way – I mean, he's been through so much that it couldn't help but change him. And that's fascinating. It must be great for Steven as an actor to play that, too.
Yeah, I mean, we've really lucked out with the caliber of actors that we've gotten on this show, just because, you know, most long-running television shows, you know, the whole thing that makes them appealing is that element of, you know, watching a character change over time. But with The Walking Dead, you know, characters, you know, like Glenn, played by Steven Yeun, are changing at extremely rapid paces, like far more than you would see in any other show. I mean, this guy's gone from a very, you know, timid, meek kind of guy to really taking charge in the last episode. Spoiler alert!
Spoiler alert!
I did that voice all wrong.
You did, yeah.
What are you willing to tell us about what looks like some sort of a Rick breakdown? I mean, where is this headed?
I can tell you nothing. No, he's you know, he's clearly losing his mind. He's
you think?
I don't want to spoil things and make that sound happen again.
Spoiler alert!
Oh boy. You know, he's starting to see things. He's starting to hear things. You know, things are going awry with him. He's not the person he used to be. And you know, this is happening at a time when the biggest confrontation that they've ever had to face, this coming
he's on the way. Yeah.
Governor battle.
Now, is the governor losing it too? Or is he just becoming really who he is?
He's just more pissed is what he is.
Yeah, I think he's more spiraling out of control, but not in a way that's going to weaken him. I think it's probably going to strengthen him, which is going to make the situation a little bit more dangerous.
But Rick seems to have an understanding that he's losing it. He's losing it, but he sort of knows he's losing it?
Yeah,
or no?
I don't know that being aware of the fact that you're going crazy is a help in any way.
Well, no, I think it would be worse.
He does seem to be somewhat mindful of his limitations, which could come in handy.
I love that, again, spoiler alert from last night, but I love that this is the first time where it's occurred to me that he might lose the group or at least lose their confidence because they have really depended on him for so long to make the right decision.
Wait, what are you talking about? There's 3 or 4 episodes where everybody just about mutinies.
Not like last night. Not like last night. Last night, it was everybody against Rick, and that's the first time that I feel like he didn't have any kind of support anymore. I mean, it's a fairly flimsy dictatorship, or Ricktatorship, as Chris Hardwick called it last night. That was funny.
I think the more interesting prospect is watching characters like Maggie and Glenn and Herschel kind of step up and assume leadership roles in the absence of Rick. I think that a mutiny where someone else takes over the group is not as interesting as seeing, you know, everyone working together in a you know, more solid way moving into this conflict.
I love the character of Daryl, but I'd take 2 Glenns. Over a Daryl any day.
In other words, one Glenn over two
Daryls any day.
In your zombie apocalypse plan, Kevin, you're putting in a request for 2 Glenns, no Daryls?
For the current Glenn.
What about 3 Daryls? Does that trump 2 Glenns?
Probably.
Okay.
Probably. Playing poker now. Because
he's pretty cool, too.
What about 6 Herschels?
No. Herschel, that's
10 Carls.
That's
10 Carls.
That's only 6 legs. 6 Herschels.
How about 100 Carls? Even though you hate him, that would be a tremendous asset, right, Kevin?
No, I'd have to take them all out.
100 of them?
I'd have to take them all out.
That kid can shoot, man.
I'd have to take them out. Not worth it, man. Not worth it.
I can't believe we're already almost out of time. Sunday nights at 9 on AMC. How many new episodes are there going to be for the second half of season 3?
8 total, 7 more after last night's.
Fantastic. Anything else, any overview you want to share with us before you go?
I think we've been building to this conflict between the governor and Rick. These two people haven't even seen each other. That's probably going to happen soon. I'm not going to say when.
Spoiler alert.
Sigh. There's going to be some pretty explosive stuff. I mean, the season has been escalating throughout, from episode to episode, and things are just going to get more and more intense.
It does seem like it started out as survival, and now it's just effing all-out war.
It's awesome, right?
Yeah.
It is awesome. Yeah, it is definitely awesome. The Walking Dead.
But there is crossfire and war, and Carl could take one.
He could.
That's all
he
I'm
could.
Saying.
Right.
TheWalkingDead.com is the new website just launched over the weekend. You can get all the details on the comic book. You can get all the details on the TV show, on the games, on the chats, everything. It's all up there in one handy-dandy spot for you. All right, I don't know if you'll ever come back. I always think we screwed it up. I think this is it for me. This might be it.
I'm done.
But Robert Kirkman, always great to see you. Thank you for the time, sir.
Thanks a lot.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and this is the Kevin and Bean Show at 8:39.
Look for the colors.
I'm trying, man.
Look for the colors. That's what I'm missing. I'm just trying to figure out where it went. All right.
Look, hold my calls, clear my schedule. I want to do nothing else for the rest of the day than what we are about to do, which is, ladies and gentlemen, round two of Beer Mugs Interviews at the Grammy Roundtable.
Yeah!
It's time to get mugged.
Wow. I'm getting better.
not so much.
How about Lisa Ling? How about Beer Mug Interviews?
How about Lisa Ling? I like her.
How about that? Here's Beer Mug sitting down with Lisa Ling.
That would suck if I was in the middle of the Grammys and my water broke.
Wow. That would be something else.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nobody recaps stuff like Mugs.
You're like a young Yule Hauser.
Really just,
wow.
Wow.
Wow. Yeah, that'd be something else. That is amazing.
Now, Beer Mug, when he tries to compliment people, sometimes it takes him a little, maybe fewer words would be better.
Well, Lisa, you're a very, very well-respected journalist. I respect you.
Thank you.
I think the things you cover are very, very awesome, and all the hard-hitting things that are going on in America and around the world, which is really awesome.
Wow. First of all, I'm glad she's got your respect. That must mean the world to her.
You have my
respect.
As
another journalist, it must mean that a peer feels that way about her. And then she covers all the awesome stories.
How come your interviewees are required to stick to 10 words or less, but you can use 1,000 to say goodbye?
Because I run things, man.
Yeah, that's
things what we've you cover are awesome. And all the hard hitting are they're all
I don't
awesome.
Know, I don't know the topics in the world.
I don't know
awesome.
Why it takes you so long to get things out. But it does.
Robert Knepper is an actor from Prison Break. He was in Transporter 3, and this is Muggs talking to him about food.
Fantastic. We're talking about your roast beef sandwich that you were chowing down on earlier.
Well, I'm a protein guy.
Yeah. You got to get the protein in.
Yeah.
I myself, I'm a carbohydrate guy, and it's starting to show up in my midsection.
First of all, starting to show up.
Second of all, why bother even talking to this person if that's what you're going
to
do?
I like to, loosen it up a little bit right at the beginning, right out the gates,
Do you know anyone else that starts any sentence with the word myself?
As much as him?
Anybody else. I've never heard anyone start with by going, myself. It's just an odd thing. Now he's talking to Mike from Incubus. Now he's getting into our territory some, and that makes me a little nervous because, he represents us now.
Right.
And Incubus is one of our big bands.
And the next thing you know, Incubus refuses to do the weenie roast because of something beer bugs.
Because he wouldn't stop asking about macaroni salad.
Oh, no, it's not that he's asking. It's that he's telling Mike about the state of music.
Well, it's good to see. It's good to hear from you, Mike. And, it's been an interesting music scene, I guess, in the last, 3, 4, 5 years? I don't know.
Yeah, yeah.
You're a very talented young man.
Well, thank you very much.
And
appreciate that.
And we look forward to hearing from you in the future.
All right.
Wow.
What?
He covered
what?
It. He covered it, right?
It's been all those words add up to nothing.
it's been
a very interesting music scene the past 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 years. And you're good. Good luck from you, young man, in the future.
Beer Mugs and B.O.B.
I like the digs. You're looking sharp.
Appreciate it, man. I'm trying to look my best for this festive occasion.
Absolutely.
Out.
All right.
He was out.
Have you seen that guy's roast beef sandwich he was eating over there? That actor from Prison Break?
All right. You know how Muggs has trouble with saying things in a succinct way? He's trying to describe now to Jerry Ryan What? She doesn't know who's going to be on the show or anything, so he's explaining that Elton John's going to be on the show. And the tribute that Elton John is doing, he's trying to get her interested in. And this is his explanation of what's about to happen.
Are you a fan of Elton John?
Yes, I am.
He's going to be doing a tribute to Levon Helm, who was, I believe he was the drummer for a band called The Band. And they did that song, The Weight. You know,
yeah.
Take a
yeah,
load
yeah.
off.
Yeah.
So... Elton John, this lovely lady from...
Are you out by now? I mean, are you going, what's happening?
Can't believe she didn't just
Why
cut,
won't
his,
he
cut
shut
his throat
up?
With a butter knife.
This band called Alabama Shakes is going to be performing.
Yeah.
And they're going to be doing an awesome tribute. I'm excited. I'm really excited.
That'll be
that.
Very cool.
Yeah.
He's an amazing performer.
Yes.
Listen to this.
Oh, she just wants to die. She's trying so hard to be sweet. Yeah, well, that's great.
Yeah.
He's an amazing performer.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Do you have any questions for me? As if this was an interview.
Beer Mug describes the Grammys.
Who wants to hear Beer Mug describe social media and the economy to Mark Cuban?
Who wants to hear that?
What the hell does Mark Cuban know about social media and the economy?
With the entrepreneur, the businessman, Mr. Mark Cuban. How you doing, sir?
I'm great, man. How are you doing?
Well, let me tell you, it's a pleasure to be sitting in front of you because I think what you have done as far as the business side of things and, you know, the social economy is amazing.
Well, thank you.
Now, by the way, he's...
Social economy.
The social economy.
Not even social media. The social economy.
Now, he's... By the way, his thank yous are enders. That's, he's trying to get out of this. He's going, thank you, thank you. All right, what's next? Like, thank you.
Right.
We have a question.
Well, he wants to explore the social economy.
You know, I think it takes a lot of guts and, you know, gall to do what you have done.
Wow.
Think about how rich Mark Cuban is and how much per minute of his time is being wasted talking to Beer Mug right now. I mean, that's like $100,000 of his time right there.
He probably could have got called and just gotten Beer Mug fired for us. That probably would have happened.
But maybe it's not too late.
Why am I getting worse?
You're asking us?
Weed.
That's a great question.
Is weed. It? Weed.
But I've cut
you,
that
you
back
asked
to the weekend.
Question.
How stoned were you during
none,
this interview segment?
Not at all. Because
how excited could you possibly have been to be sitting across from Fallout Boy then?
Awesome.
Ladies excited? And gentlemen, Fallout Boy is back. Clap your hands.
Woo!
How you guys been?
Good, man.
Yeah, congratulations.
Really
good.
Thank you.
It's good to have you back.
Thank you.
All right, take it easy. It's Fallout Boy. Come on now.
Pete Wentz isn't that excited.
What the hell? You can't tell the room to applaud.
Big K-Rock band. They haven't been heard from in a while. I thought it was exciting.
Yeah, but we liked it that way.
Well, your new single, hopefully, I'm not in control of what goes on K-Rock, but hopefully we can make that happen.
Easy.
Awesome.
I think I we could. I would love to see it. And then,
all right. As long as you would love to see it, guy who has no input over the music whatsoever.
By all means, make promises you can't possibly keep to recording artists.
Hey, Muggs, have you heard the song?
Don't.
Of course not, Bean.
But I'm glad you're volunteering for us to play.
Of course
regardless.
Not.
Then why do you hope it gets played on TV?
Put your hands together, everybody. It's Fall Out Boy.
And what would you see to do about making that happen, by the way? What does that entail? What is it? What would you do to see about making that happen?
I know some people.
Yeah. And finally, sitting across from Carmen Electra.
Oh,
the beautiful Carmen.
Nice. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. All right.
With
all right.
The beautiful, the astonishing Miss Carmen Electra.
Aw, thanks, baby.
How's the love life?
Oh, my God.
What kind of first question is that? How's the love life?
Wow, it got frosty fast in here, didn't it?
That
happened?
Is a Bean-esque level of creepy.
Why would you go right to how's the love life?
She was just too beautiful. I couldn't resist.
I'm single.
You're single?
I'm enjoying it.
Now listen to the nervous laughter the Beer Mug comes with, and then she also nervous laughs a
looking
little.
At ready to mingle?
Hala for Dala.
There it is.
There it is.
Kidding.
That's awesome.
That's awesome. Oh, it's awesome.
It's awesome.
He says awesome and that's awesome and any form of awesome 600 times an interview.
Myself, I am also ready to mingle and holla for a Dala.
And I'm awesome.
And Carmen, it's like you're just like a busy bee, busybody.
I like to stay busy, you know.
Hey, what does that mean?
Hey, you know that busy bee busy and busy bee. Body are very different things, right?
What is bad?
Busy
really
body,
bad.
Busybody means you've got your nose into other people's business.
Right.
You shouldn't.
You don't mind your own business.
It's not, okay. It's not the same thing.
Okay.
It's good for me.
Right?
Yeah.
That's my favorite part. That's my favorite part of this whole interview is that...
Just two Mensa members having a just a verbal duel right there.
Listen to Mug's comeback.
I like to stay busy, you know. It's good for me.
Right?
Yeah.
Right?
Like
yeah.
He said it.
Yeah.
I'm gonna be straightforward with everybody. I wasn't.
This means he's lying.
No. I wasn't on top of my game on these interviews.
No. What? I think you're better than ever.
I
No, that was an A+.
Why am I getting worse?
I'll tell you, this is the most empty I've ever heard you interview.
It is. No.
Actually, nothing on any level was covered.
I think
you
I
didn't
was...
ask a question about a project, or even if, do they listen to John Williams? Like, nothing even related to what they do for a living.
He talked a lot, though.
He talked
but
an enormous
nothing was
amount.
Said.
What a waste of time and energy and life you are.
Can I try again sometime?
Of course.
Absolutely.
The editor of Billboard magazine, Joe Levy, joins us right after the top of the hour to recap last night's 55th Annual Grammy Awards. I'm sure LL Cool J is still trying to get us to tweet him, right? That's still happening.
The most tweeted music event in America. Everybody, hashtag Grammys. Let me answer your tweets. Yes, Taylor Swift does sing. All right, next.
It's about how it was. That's hardly an exaggeration. Ralph is here with the other showbiz news. What's going on?
You don't understand. It's so tweeted. Everybody tweets about the Grammys.
Right. Sure.
Last year, a lot of people tweeted things about the Grammys. It's all that matters. Just tweet.
I don't like to be told over and over and over to do anything.
At one point, LL Cool J just said, turn off your television set, stop watching us, and just tweet. Just tweet about us.
It's not enough that he's already Elton John. Now he has to be hashtag Elton John. We have to refer to him that way. Come on, LL. Stop it.
Hashtag Sir Elton John.
Sorry.
First of all, CBS, please know this. The more you desperately try to be hip by involving Twitter and everything you do, the more painfully unhip you sound when you're begging for it.
Yeah, begging for it does not work.
Everybody who's going to tweet about your Grammys is already tweeting about your Grammys. They're watching the show and they're tweeting. They really don't need you to tell them that they should be tweeting about it. If they want to tweet, they'll be tweeting.
We know how to do it. It's not new technology, CBS.
And the cool part is when it trends, when everyone's watching it and tweeting about it, because it's sort of a spontaneous reaction to what you're doing, that's what makes it cool. It's not you begging people, just please tweet anything about the Grammys. The hashtag Grammys are on television. That doesn't count.
It's not good for New York. It's not good for America. And it's not good for the entire world. And so, CBS, shame on you. Shame on you, CBS.
That being said, at Ralph Garman, hashtag Joe Schmo. Feel free to put anything you want up there. Happy to read it. Always happy. Today's celebrity birthday.
By the way, it wouldn't have made me upset if he did that
once.
If he did that once or twice, it wouldn't have upset me. But he did it every five
minutes. Don't say it. Just put a scroll on the bottom of the screen, a Chiron, saying hashtag Grammys or something if you want. We understand it.
All right. I'll give you the weekend's top 10 movies, and then really, I gotta go. It's 9 o'clock, man. I'm out of time.
Sorry, we ran late.
Identity Thief, number one at the box office, $36.6 million this weekend. People like to see Jason Bateman have Melissa McCarthy hit her head against a car window. People like that. Did you hear about the review that Rex Ryan gave that film? Not only did he trash the film, but he said horrible things about Melissa McCarthy herself.
Her acting?
No.
Never works.
Her weight.
It never seems like that never really comes into play, should it?
He called her a hippo, tractor-sized, a humongous creep.
I went to see that movie because of her.
I did, too. I think she's hilarious. Yeah, it was horrible, horrible things. Serious fat shaming going on with Rex Reed.
Is she skinny? No.
No, but
is that part of the, review of the movie?
She's not playing a beauty pageant winner.
What a dick.
He's a major dick. He's a bitter old fruit. He's a bitter old fruit who just is so sad that he's not on the top of the critics' pile anymore. At one point in the 70s, he was relevant. Now he's just he's meaningless. He writes for the New York Observer. You ever heard of the Observer?
No.
Me neither.
That exists?
Apparently that's a thing. Warm Bodies was number two in the box office. Side Effects was third. Silver Linings Playbook was fourth. Hansel and Gretel was fifth. Mama was sixth. Zero Dark Thirty was seventh. Argo, Django Unchained, and Bullet to the Head. Those are your top 10 movies at the box office this weekend. Today's celebrity birthdays. Tina Louise of Gilligan's Island is 79 years old today. Someone sent me a very angry email saying, no bell for Tina Louise?
No.
To that person, I respond, Google Tina Louise today. Sir, we're not talking about when after the three-hour tour when they were all stranded on the island.
That was the 60s?
Mid-60s that show was on, yes. And trust me, don't get me wrong, many a fantasy that I have as a young lad watching those reruns about Ginger.
But
she ain't ginger no more.
No, sir.
Uh-uh.
Burt Reynolds is 77 years old today. Also, does not look like Smokey anymore.
No.
Or the Bandit, or whoever the hell, whichever the hell he was.
I don't think he was Smokey.
I don't think he was either.
Which one was the monkey?
There's no monkey.
Wait, Smokey the Bandit is not a monkey?
What? No, what? Are you thinking of Clint Eastwood?
What?
Oh, is that what I'm thinking of? Loose?
Oh, they're different movies.
Or are you thinking of BJ and the Bear?
Any number of weird movies from the 70s. I don't know.
BJ and the Bear was a series, first of all, and the bear was the monkey.
Okay, but I think Lisa hit it. I think I was thinking of Every Which Way But Loose and Any Which Way You Can. That was with the monkey, right?
Yeah.
Got no time for this. Really, literally.
Some good input from Bean.
No.
Thanks,
time
Bean.
For this.
Wait, hold on. The girl was a robot in Boy Meets World, though, right?
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
Sure were a lot of hoes and haze going on at Staples Center last night when the Lumineers did that song. They seemed to be very well received at the Grammys, I thought.
Seemed like it, yeah.
Joe Levy from Billboard Magazine. He is the editor of that essential publication. Joins us on the phone once again on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hi, Joe. Good morning.
Good morning.
The ratings are just coming in now. CBS presentation of the 55th Annual Grammy Awards amassed 28.1 million viewers, scoring a 10 rating in the 18 to 49 demo. The second largest audience since 1993. That seems a pretty good turnout, right?
That is not bad, especially because last year was a near record-setting year for them, so they had a lot to compete with, and you know, they had a lot of interest around the tragic death of Whitney Houston last year that just didn't exist this year. So this is purely about the Grammys and who wants to see the Grammys.
Hashtag Grammys.
We were hashtag correct.
We were talking about that all day long today, about the there were a lot of positives, a lot of good things to enjoy
about the positive
broadcast last night, but CBS was just driving us crazy, acting like they just discovered Twitter. Did that bug you as much as us, Joe?
It bugged me immensely. You know,
hashtag
year,
it bugged me.
Stop it, Kevin. Stop it.
That's
let
what
the
they
man talk.
Did.
All, you know, last year they were a social media success. They were like the most tweeted or most biggest TV show in the world of social media at the time. And of course it grows so fast that the Video Music Awards trounced them when they came around. But here's the thing. You don't need to use the hashtag. It made them seem like out of touch old folks, especially
right.
When LL Cool J told you that hashtag Bruno Mars was coming up hashtag next.
It was ridiculous. It was absurd.
It was absurd.
I don't know that there were a lot of upsets or surprises. I mean, there were certainly some categories where you could have realistically expected any one of a couple of different people to win. But, I mean, Fun getting Best New Artist and Mumford & Sons getting Album of the Year, I don't think there were surprises. Do you, Joe?
I'm not going to complain about that. I'm not going to say I'm mad at it. But I really believed that Frank Ocean was going to walk away with the Best New Artist Grammy. I just thought he was the Best New Artist of last year. As Fun themselves were saying, they are not young. They have been doing this for 12 years.
Yeah, sure.
This is not their first trip to the rodeo, and it's sort of like, yeah, okay, you guys actually are awesome. Good performance last night, but, you know, I just wanted someone new to win.
Yeah. I understand. We talked a little bit about Frank Ocean earlier, and I'm curious because you followed him very closely with Billboard Magazine over the past couple of years, you know, with the success of his mixtapes and his work with Odd Future and that Channel Orange that I think really broke him through to a lot of people. His performances on television seem to be, on purpose to me, understated, almost like he's trying to push people away who might suddenly fall in love with Frank Ocean.
Well, it doesn't work quite that way. It's funny that you picked understated as the word to describe it rather than, you know,
boring,
off key.
Yeah.
Every time he sings live, he has pitch problems, and they were more major last night than any time before. But here's the thing. You might think that, but after he did Fallon, which was where he launched his record,
right.
After
mm-hmm.
he did the MTV Video Music Awards, he had huge gains in sales online. Huge gains.
Okay.
And I don't know whether it will be huge last night, but if he's trying to push people away, it's not working. They are coming to him. I think his whole thing is, I'm gonna do me. I'm gonna be like Frank Ocean. Nobody's gonna tell me what to do. You say I can't pretend to be Forrest Gump on the Grammys.
Right.
Watch me.
And the other thing that's unusual about him is that he goes the opposite way of most R&B and rap performers, which is to be all, you know, braggadocious and you know, loud. He's so quiet. And in some ways, Jack White kind of pulls that same thing off. He kind of forces you to, you're kind of drawn to him because of that.
Yeah, I completely agree. The Jack White performance was an actual standout last night because he's been touring with those two bands, the all-girl band, the all-dude band. He performed with both of them last night. There was that quiet lead-in to this kick-ass rock and roll moment for him, just shredding on guitar. But yeah, they both maintain some mystery, which is not what we're used to in this day and age. We're used to people who are all up in our face on Twitter and everything else, using every form of media to get at us and tell us their story and tell us, by the way, you know, my record, you could buy that. That would be good for
That's
me.
True. A lot of- That's true.
Here are two guys who just let the art talk.
Right. We're kind of used to the Dream getting up there with like 30 hats on, all with different messages and 20 gold chains around his neck and pushing Frank Ocean out of the way to get to the mic. Hey, let me talk. I mean, that's really what it seems like what R&B used to be about, right?
Yeah, although I actually kind of felt for the game because his whole thing was like, I've been to the Grammys before and they cut me off. They played the out music while I was trying to thank my grandmother. And you got to, like, that was one of the real moments last night, just like Jay-Z leaning into the mic and saying, I want to thank the swap meet for his hat.
That was funny.
That was a real moment. And you know what? I didn't turn on the Grammys thinking, I think the best thing I'm going to see tonight is going to be Kelly Clarkson. And it was.
She was great. She was terrific.
Let
me ask you guys a question about something else. And this is, I don't know if it was just the East Coast. I was lucky enough to watch the East Coast feed. But when Adele won, somebody else ran up to the microphone and said, congratulations to Adele, you're my inspiration, and then turned and walked off. And whoever was presenting looked around like, who the hell was that? Like, it was a complete mystery man.
Did you see it, Joe?
I did not. I think I was too busy watching Twitter, like, criticize Adele's dress.
Well, see that happen. Look, Adele is great, and we love her, but
I don't know that
choice in clothing doesn't necessarily do her any justice.
Yeah, because we're the three guys that people should be taking. Look,
that was an excellent point.
Agreed.
This is the voice of Joe Levy, the editor of Billboard magazine, Billboard.com, on the phone with us here on the Kevin Beach Show. Let me ask you about a couple of the other performances. And one of the things that's great about the Grammys is very few awards, lots of performances. So it's mostly wall-to-wall music. And they do create these moments that they hope people will enjoy. Like the Bob Marley tribute with Bruno Mars and Sting and Rihanna, which I thought was fine. What did you think of the Black Keys with the Preservation Hall Jazz Band and Dr. John? What did you think about that?
I thought it was good. You know, I mean, again, I think like most people were like, what is Dr. John wearing?
Love it.
A lot of us recognized it. It's a Mardi Gras headdress from his Dr. John the Night Tripper days.
Mm-hmm.
But I think most of America was like, I don't know, you didn't kill too many animals for that.
Because they did kind of waste him a little bit. I was hoping they'd take the opportunity with that many great musicians on stage to kind of flesh that out and let that breathe a little bit and, you know, turn it into a jam rather than just essentially play the record.
And I did expect a little more out of those once-in-a-lifetime Grammy moment mashups, particularly when you tell me I'm going to get a mashup between Maroon 5 and Alicia Keys.
Right.
I would like
yes.
something other than, hey, first one of us is going to play, then the other of us is going to play.
That's not much of a mashup.
No.
And how about the tribute to Levon Helm? They did the wait with Mavis Staples and with Brittany Howard from Alabama Shakes. What did you think of that?
I thought that Mavis Staples and Brittany Howard were one of the highlights of the show.
I did too.
I thought they were both amazing. And again, it was that spontaneous moment at the end when Mavis Staples would not stop singing.
Yes.
Was in the moment, lost in the groove, still singing, the song is over, the camera's pulling away. And here's like one of the great voices, great gospel voices in America, just wailing on national TV. It was fantastic. My one complaint, I wanted that Adam Yauch tribute or that whatever that performance between Chuck D and
right.
LL Cool J that should have been a full Yauch tribute.
Right.
I wanted that earlier in the show. I wanted that up front.
Yeah, they did end the show with that, which means it came after the album of the year. And, you know, on the East Coast, that's already 11:25, so you lost a lot of people after that. I totally agree.
You lost a lot of people. They started running the Grammys are brought to you.
Yes, they did, right?
During the song.
In the middle of Chuck D.
They did, yeah.
Talk about not being able to fight the power. This man is interrupted by an airline commercial.
Yeah.
And
hey, wait.
Credits.
Way to go, Ellen Kay. Chuck D is coming for you. All right. Well, we're out of time. We'll have to leave it there. But another year in the record books, the 2013 Grammys last night on CBS. You can find all those highlights we talked about and more at CBS.com. Joe, great to chat with you, man. Thanks for all the help.
Thank you.
I think we made the right decision to not tease ahead that we're going to be talking to the Armenian comedian, because that gives people the opportunity to switch stations. So
switch stations to us, you mean?
We just, boom, we just, right out of nowhere, Sam is on the air. Hey, I didn't know you were on Twitter as Born High Armenian Comedian, B-O-R-N-H-Y-E. How long have you been on Twitter?
Oh, as soon as the movie was released, it was on the Twitter and YouTube and Facebook, everywhere.
Is that you tweeting or somebody else tweeting from the account?
Oh, no, my producers.
Your producer, shoot. Do you tweet anywhere?
No, I have all the, you know, my friends, they all try to chip in and help me, you know.
Okay. All right. Well, listen, the reason the Armenian comedian, lifelong friend of the Kevin and Bean Show, is joining
friend
us today.
Friend is strong.
Because something that he's been warning us about for months is finally happening tonight. It's the opening of Club Astral, which is in Burbank. Now, what's your participation in Club Astral opening up? You don't own the place? Do you work there? What's going on with you, Sam?
No. Well, the Club Astral is the website for the for my show, but the event is going to be in Bouvardia Restaurant Nightclub in Burbank on Glen Oaks by Olive. So I would like to give a ticket.
Wait, hold on. So you're doing, what are you doing, stand-up, or is your band playing?
Both.
Yes.
Wow, that's a double dose of Sam. Wow, okay.
I have about 10 songs rolling. I'm going to sing all of them. It's all messages, what's going on with me and the world.
Sure.
I took a train on in New York City, Highway 118, World War III. Pretty lady.
These are the names of some of your new songs, Sam?
Yes. Me Home and Teenagers and Highway 118.
Already
and
said that.
Oh, Mama, Oh, Papa.
Ooh,
and
classic.
All that.
Yeah.
Oh, he still does the old hits. That's great. Yes. So it's tonight at what time, Sam, can people see you?
9 o'clock. Be there by 7 because, ticket sales are really booming.
Are they really booming?
Yeah, I'm going to give also give away to the listeners some passwords that they are my biggest fans, and I have about 20 pair of, people to come in.
Well said.
I don't understand a word of what you just said.
So SoCalMusicNews.com, is that where you go to get tickets and information about the club today?
Right.
SoCalMusicNews.com. I know it's very difficult to understand anything that Sam says.
Club Astra.
Right. Okay,
Astra. So it is a restaurant, though?
Yes.
So people are going to sit down. They're going to order food.
Yeah.
And then
drink.
And then you're going to be on stage.
Yeah, and then when they eat and drink, we'll have a flair dancer. She's going to perform. And I have a flair bartender in the back. And food and drink, and then magic tricks by me and MC by me.
I didn't realize magic tricks were part of it.
So you're MCing. You're MCing. You're doing magic tricks. You're telling jokes and you're singing.
Yeah.
Triple threat.
This is a quadruple threat. This is so much Armenian comedian, Kevin. How can you not go to this tonight?
Are you dressing like Mr. Clown?
No.
For the magic? What do you mean, no? Don't say it like that. With disrespect.
That's disgusting.
No. I'm wearing my costume. That's it.
What's your costume?
And everybody is really jumping on the board for, also I'm going to have a comedy night.
Okay.
All the promoters are jumping in from the website. All kinds of talents are coming in and all kinds of. Still in the process of every Monday, every Tuesday, we're going to keep busy doing this for a whole year. And then I have a album release in June, and this is, we're giving a CD tonight, giving away my songs. So come on down, have fun, people.
Okay. What's the album release for if you're giving them away?
And then if you can do some kind of on the door, we have to. They have to do password KROQ.
Right, sure. All right,
like that.
Right, we got to be done. We got to be done with this by now. All right, SoCalMusicNews.com is where you go to get all the information for Club Astral tonight in Burbank with our friend, the Armenian comedian, who, as you've heard, can do it all.
Buvardia,
please,
Buvardia.
What?
Whatever
what?
You just said, right?
You said is a nightclub, the place.
Well, what? It says Club Astral, though. Isn't it Club Astral?
Yeah. No. Club Astral is a website. Buvardia is a nightclub. Buvardia.
And Club Astral.
To breakfast over there with you guys.
Right, we're going to do that Saturday. Okay. All right, Sam. Well, none of the paperwork that you've said has anything to do with anything you're telling us on the radio. But people will find you, I guess, if they go to SoCalMusicNews.com. So have fun tonight. I hope some of our listeners come down and give us some reviews.
And then I want Kevin or anybody should be there to see me. Come on.
Right.
Lightning is going to come. Uh-huh.
Okay.
Is gonna come.
All right. Hey, Sam.
Lisa May is coming.
Nope. Sam?
Yes?
We have to run, but leave us with a joke, please.
Okay. One day I was on the roof working, and then one of my friends came by, and he says, hey, Sam, can I borrow some money? And I came down, and I told him, would you like to come up the roof? I want to tell you something. And then I made my friend come up the roof, and I turned around, and I said, no.
I'm assuming that was the punchline, right?
Yeah.
All right, Sam. Thanks for
take
calling.
Us out with another joke.
No, that's we're done, Kevin. We're out of time. We're done. Rob joins us now. Time for a final look at the Showbiz Beat here on a Monday. What's going on?
Since it is Monday, we always look at the top 10 movies at the box office to give you an idea what people went to see this weekend. Identity Thief was the big winner, $36.6 million at the box office. Made it number one in its debut weekend. Warm Bodies was number two. Side Effects, the new Jude Law thriller. Only made $10 million.
Did you say you saw that, Ralph?
I did not, no. I saw Lincoln over the weekend, but I did not see Side Effects. That's the Jude Law thriller. $10 million was good enough to make it number three. Silver Linings Playbook was fourth. Hansel and Gretel, Witch Hunters. Fifth, Mama. Was number six. Zero Dark Thirty, Argo, Django Unchained, and Bullet to the Head rounds out your top ten at the box office this weekend. Well, looks like when it comes to the Hasselhoff family, the martini does not roll far from the olive, or vice versa.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Apparently, a daughter of David Hasselhoff, Haley, is proving to be a real chip off the old block. She was popped on DUI charges. Sources say she's going to fight the case and could face 6 months in jail if convicted. So, there's that. Haley's mother, Pamela Bach, by the way, Pamela Bach, was arrested for drinking and driving in 2009 and 2010.
Wow. Well, a lot of people criticize families who don't share any hobbies or interests.
They all have something together.
I'm sure this right. is the one, though.
If I'm not mistaken, I believe Haley was the one running the camera for the legendary 2007 video of
really?
Daddy David in his furnitureless apartment in Las Vegas, laying on the floor shirtless, eating a burger
just, from Carl's Jr.
just smashed.
I think you're right. I think that's who he was talking to.
Tell me you're going to stop.
There she is.
I'm going to stop.
Promise?
No.
Yes?
Nope.
I'll be fine. That'll be fine.
And now she's been picked up for drug driving.
Don't tell me the scared straight programs work, because if you're a little girl filming your father in that condition and it doesn't make you swear off alcohol, at least to excess, what's the world coming to?
That's too bad.
That is too bad. Friday Night Lights star Amy Teagarden's got a new gig. She'll be playing a teenager who falls in love with an alien in a new series on the CW called Oxygen. Anyone?
Don't know. I like her.
I like that the
one
CW.
I like that one's called Starman. I remember that movie. That was good. Guess what? NCIS is getting another spinoff.
We've hashtag already got NCIS. If that's the show LL Cool J's on.
No, NCIS LA is the one LL Cool J's on.
He does with
Chris O'Donnell.
Okay.
That was a spinoff of NCIS, which I believe is Mark Harmon, right?
That's correct.
And
yes.
If I'm not mistaken, the most watched television program in America?
I think that may be true, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
New spinoff, NCIS Red.
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 Now they're just going with colors.
Yes. This apparently will be an NCIS team that travels all over the country. They don't just stay to one city. They travel when it's red, man. When it's a red alert, they call out the NCIS red team.
These are the good ones.
John Corbett of Northern Exposure and Sex in the City will be the star of the show. And Kim Raver, formerly of 24 in Grey's Anatomy, she will play the female lead. So they're mobile agents who solve military crimes around the country. What? What's that? Somebody's M16 is dirty? Let's go. Let's roll.
Are there that many military crimes that they need three separate groups of people to handle them?
Hashtag yes.
You know, I pride myself, Ralph, on staying current.
Oh, yeah, we know. We knew that from the hilarious chunk you did on Smokey and the Bandit.
Well, that's not current. My point is, when something like the Grammys comes along, I'm the guy who usually can tell you who everybody is that comes up to the stage. There was a woman on stage last night I had never heard of and never seen before, and it turns out her name is Polly Perrette, and she is an actress on one of these NCIS shows. She's the one that came out with Dave Grohl to present an award last night.
Yes, yes, yes.
And I was looking at her, I was going, who is, like, how is this person presenting at the Grammys if I have no idea who they are? It's like, because she's on one of those big CBS shows.
This is going to shock you, but that is Doc's huge celebrity crush.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, no.
Anytime that show comes up, he will come into the office with, oh, you forgot to mention Polly Perrette? Oh, I'd like to have her examine my corpse. Or something. He says something weird and inappropriate. But yeah,
it's not just me, though. You guys didn't know who she was either, right?
I did know who she was, actually.
You did? Okay.
Yeah.
I only did because the announcer said who it was. But other than that, I didn't know.
Yeah, the Grammys last night, an interesting mixed bag of performances and appearances. People still talking about Adele's costume.
I don't know if it's a costume.
I think it was. I really can't call it a dress. I think I'd have to call it a costume.
Was she trying to blend in with some curtains somewhere at the Staples Center that we didn't know about?
She looked like a couch. She was dressed as a couch last night. Katy Perry, of course, made two very big impressions.
Yes, she did.
On the red carpet and on the show.
Yep. Boob window.
That happened.
Yeah, the boob window. And while we're talking about lovely ladies, we do want to give a shout-out of congratulations to the lovely Kate Upton. 20-year-old Kate Upton will be on the cover of Sports Illustrated Swimsuit Edition for the second year in a row.
Who's that? I'm not familiar with her.
A sweet picture, huh? Just look, boobies paint. I drop slow.
That's, I think, Kevin's tweet was just moments ago. So you can
asshole.
Kevin, you realize there are lots of places we can go to see attractive women on the internet, right?
Sorry, are you talking?
Yeah.
Don't follow me, bitch.
Little liar.
She's in bad straits. You know, she had to move in with her mom, Dina, in their home in Long Island, because she's flat broke, according to sources. Can't even afford to rent a two-bedroom apartment. Has no cash, has no income. Had to be humiliated and move back and home with her mom, Dina.
Who she doesn't always get along with.
However, rumor has it now she has convinced a friend of hers to let her crash at her place in Soho, in the Soho district of New York City, which may be just in time because news breaks today that it appears the Chase Bank has informed Adina Lowen that they intend to foreclose on her Long Island property.
Man.
So if you've got a little extra room, you want to help a sister out.
She's pretty much on the lam at this point.
You should reach out to Lindsay Lowen and let her know she can crash at your place. Listen, she may be a mess. You may get a lot of cigarette burns and stuff in your carpet and your furniture if you let her stay there. But I'm telling you, never-ending source of blow, if that's important to you.
Allegedly.
Just delivery. Just guys showing up all hours of the night just delivering blow.
That's alleged.
69. I love Polly Perrette. She can NC my ass.
He never said anything that clever in his life.
I don't know what he says. I just know he's got a big thing for her. Not a big thing.
That's
I don't know.
Real talk right there,
that's
man. Right.
I know
that's
the
right.
size of his thing. I'm just saying it's a big crush. Today's celebrity birthdays, actress Tina Louise. Stop with the Tina Louise emails. I can't impress this enough upon you. I understand that in 1966 she was attractive, but how? What's the statute of limitations on hot, though, really? You know?
We're going on 50 years now later, so...
I think I showed extraordinary restraint, by the way, by recognizing that time has marched on for Ginger.
I would have thought that would be a little easier for you, because it's really not a close call anymore.
But I understand there should be maybe some sort of Hall of Fame or Circle of Fame or Walk of Fame or some
tube
sort of...
Tube of History.
Something we should give the all-time hotties throughout pop culture history. I can understand that, but I don't think the bell birthday bell is the place for it.
No, I agree.
Maybe we'll just start a new segment. Hottie Hall of Fame or something.
I like it.
Burt Reynolds is 77 years old today. Sheryl Crow's 51. Sarah Palin, she's 49 years old today. Girl can't keep a job. Poor kid.
True.
Had to quit being governor of Alaska, quit Fox News. It's tough being Sarah Palin. Jennifer Aniston's 44. Damian Lewis from Homeland is 42. Pro surfer Kelly Slater turns 41 years old. Craig Jones of Slipknot, he is 40 years old. Singer D'Angelo is 39. Peter Hayes from Black Rebel Motorcycle Club turns 37. Mike Shinoda, a lot of musicians today, from Linkin Park's 36. Brandy, she was Moesha on TV, but also a talented singer, 34 years old. Kelly Rowland of Destiny's Child is 32.
How good did she look on the Grammys last night?
She looked
great.
Dynamite. She looked dynamite at the Super Bowl, I thought.
Yep.
She looked really good on stage. I loved it. We never mentioned this, but it was great that they shot those girls out of a cannon at the Super Bowl. I thought
that was
very
cool.
Impressive. They just showed up.
And then they had disappeared.
Then Beyonce pushed
quick.
The button, and then there was a trap door that opened underneath them, and they just disappeared again. Aubrey O'Day of Identity Kane is 29 years old, and Taylor Lautner from the Twilight Saga movies, and of course, Abduction. 21 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. Tomorrow morning on all new Kevin and Bean Show, we have comedian Jeff Ross in the studio. We're going to take your phone calls of tattoos you regret. Maybe you saw this girl who got the guy's name that she dated once tattooed across her entire face.
Oh, yeah. Pretty girl, too. Pretty girl.
In like 3-inch letters from the bottom of her chin to the top of her eye. Yeah. All the way across her face after one date.
So don't you guys have a 3-date policy on when you get a tattoo of his name on your face? I do.
I'm just saying, you can, after one date, it just seems a little
it
rushed.
Seems a little
that's
rushed,
all.
Yeah.
You could text us pictures or email us pictures if you'd like to get that started. We're going to do that tomorrow. We also have Jeff Flanagan, who is a doomsday prepper. This is one of those dudes that's preparing for the end of the world. And girls, he's looking for a girlfriend.
Excellent.
That's right.
Oh,
he's got someone to live in his underground bunker.
He's got a silo and all kinds
of... Oh, that's what a girl likes. That's they like a lot of canned food.
Security.
Yes.
And we will continue to let you qualify for K-Rock's World Tour 2013 Destination Number 5, which is the Killers in Buenos Aires, Argentina. Tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin and